Good morning. The time is 8:55 a.m. We are here today, October 26, 2017, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatna, Guam, for the continuation of the formal hearing of OPA PA 17-008 Shanghai Electric Power Japan Co. Ltd. and Terra Energy Inc. versus the Guam Power Authority. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Peter C. Perez and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Rodlin Gerardo, Jarek Hernandez, and Vince Duenas. Will appellant SCPJ and Terra Energy please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, this is Bill Mann and Dan Berman representing the consortium composed of Shanghai Energy Power Japan Limited and Terra Energy Inc.
And Eddie Wu from Terra Energy.
One preliminary matter, Mr. Wu, he'll have to depart at 3 p.m. and previously purchased tickets to depart Guam, so he's available today until 3.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency GPA please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
GPA General Counsel, and Ms. Beatrice Mbiako, Assistant General Manager for Administration.
Thank you. Will interested party Hanwha Energy Corporation and Pacific Petroleum Trading Corporation please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Vince Camacho, counsel for Hanwha Energy and Pacific Petroleum. With me today is Daejin Jun and Andrew Park.
Thank you. Will interested party Korea Electric Power Corporation and LG CNS Co. Ltd. Consortium please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, Anita Ariola for the KEPCO LGCNS Consortium. With me are Mr. Chang Kok Choi and Mr. Sung Ho Ryu.
Thank you. We may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. Mr. Botha, it's your time for redirect.
Thank you.
Yes, and Mr. Blonde, you're still under.
Mr. Blonde, is it clear to you, and it should have been clear to all the bidders, that in Exhibit 8 and 9, that due to the challenges in Telefofo, that the bidders were free to use an overhead line to connect to U-Matic, which would have been the next available substation?
I'm sorry, the reference to exhibit is?
To exhibit 8 and 9, amendments 8 and 9 to the bid, which we went over yesterday, that allowed, because of the space issues at Telefofo, that allowed an overhead line to U-Matic.
Yes, based on the evidence provided yesterday. Yeah.
And in general, I think the estimates were set out there for underground versus overhead, that underground is generally more expensive than the overhead?
Yes, I believe so. That's what we provided.
And are there limitations on underground for a 115 kV line?
We don't do it here on Guam presently.
Okay, and if, to your knowledge, it's never been done on Guam?
No.
And was one of the Hanwha proposals a 115 kV line overhead?
I believe that's one of the alternatives from the system impact study.
Okay, and that would be substantially more expensive than either an underground 34.5 or an overhead 34.5.
I believe the 115 line and its infrastructure would require significant costs, yes.
And the in terms of the system impact study, that is only done upon intent to award the potential bidders, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the microgrid issues, the bid documents were clear that those could only be identified and specifications set out when the point of interconnection is known. Is that not accurate?
Based on the evidence presented, yes.
And the system impact study looks at the interconnection to the grid.
Yes, it does.
Okay. And in the case of Hanwha, did that have significant impacts if it were to tie into Telefofo and other places down south?
There were some significant impacts due to the location and the size of the project, yes.
Okay. And the Amendment 8 did notify all bidders, including Shanghai, who had one site that was proposing to connect to Telefofo, that the telephoto option would not really be feasible due to the no breaker space and limited area available at the telephone substation.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, so all bidders were advised that they could go overhead to a different substation to include U-Matic.
Yes.
And you testified yesterday that due to the system impact study, that the Hanwha output would be limited during the day to 45 megawatts. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's one of the recommendations or discussions, yes.
And after the system impact study, GPA reviewed the issue of whether it would be beneficial to GPA to have a microgrid for Hanwha.
Yes.
And that would allow the power that had been produced during the day to be offset and distributed back to the GPA grid during the nighttime.
That's correct.
And there is nothing that you were able to determine after being asked to review the bid documents that required any differentiation between underground or overhead?
I'm sorry?
Was there anything in the bid documents that you were asked to review yesterday that would require underground versus overhead from any of the bidders?
We did not specify a requirement.
Okay, and there was no credit that was provided in the bid scoring documents for going underground?
There was no credit in the bid scoring documents.
And I think you justified that between overhead and underground, operationally, they are equivalent.
Yes.
And when those lines are turned over to GPA, GPA is the responsibility for maintenance and overhead.
That's correct.
And the bid you specified was the evaluation was made strictly on the price per kilowatt hour for both KEPCO and Hanwha?
For all bidders, it was based on the energy production price.
Okay. And the battery storage that was set out, in your opinion, was used for ramp control?
The battery for the energy delivery for the RIESS is for ramp control, yes.
Okay. And the difference between, I think, 24 megawatts batteries and the 20 megawatts, you did not believe that was a significant difference between Hanwha and Shanghai. Is that accurate?
I did not believe it was significant.
Okay. And 1 hour versus a half hour, would that make any difference whether you could use those batteries for any other purpose, such as a microgrid?
I don't believe you'd have much to gain with the 1 hour for shifting. You would only have 1 hour at that output.
Okay. And you testified that there were penalties to not meeting the ramping requirements.
That is correct.
And that would be the basis of bidders adding perhaps an additional batteries to not be subject to penalties.
It would be to the bidders. It would be the bidders', I guess, prerogative to add more batteries to meet that requirement.
Okay, and there was no requirement on GPA's part that said you needed 1 hour versus a half hour of energy storage requirements?
We did not set that requirement.
And are both the Hanwha and KEPCO prices substantially below the current LEAC rate?
Yes, they are.
Okay, and in looking at avoided costs and costs in the future, would that represent a substantial saving to GPA if those bids were awarded?
Yes, they would.
And
say that part again.
Okay, are the Hanwha and KEPCO bids substantially below the current LEAC rate at this time?
Yes, they are.
And would that represent, based on your future avoided costs and the fuel studies that you and the calculations you testified yesterday, that would represent a substantial saving to GPA since they are below the LEAC?
Yes.
As to avoided costs?
Yes. Not to avoided costs. It would only lead to fuel costs, correct?
No. As to the calculation of avoided cost takes into effect both fuel costs and other long-term considerations. Am I accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And so that would benefit both the short-term and the long-term projections for potential costs for GPA to operate the power system.
But is it fair to say that most of the costs would be to the fuel costs? Majority of it would be more to the fuel costs.
Most of the avoided costs in this case would be fuel.
Most of the is fuel. That's what I meant.
Yes.
In looking at the projections as far as fuel costs and the other costs that go into determining what the avoided cost should be, for the NRG bid, was the award and the LEAC at the time relatively close to each other?
I believe so. It's been a while.
But those were the, I think they'd asked you to look at the tables, and I asked you the LEAC rates back in 2010 and 2011. So those at the time were in the 19 cents range?
Yes.
Okay, and the LEAC currently is in the 11 cent range?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and the two bids, with or without the microgrid, are both, well, without the microgrid are 6.5 cents for Hanwha and 8.5 cents for Gecko?
Yes, they are.
Okay. And it was your testimony yesterday that an award could be made without the microgrid?
Yes.
But that even if the microgrid costs were added to the Hanwha one because of the limitations on output power, that would still be less than 2 cents an additional kilowatt?
I'm not sure what the final numbers are, but I believe, yes, it'd be lower than KEPCO's.
Okay, and so if you added less than 2 cents to the Hanwha bid, that would still be at or lower than the KEPCO bid?
Yes.
And substantially lower than the lowest bid for Shanghai at 12.6 cents?
Yes, it would still be.
I don't have any further questions.
Okay, so the order that we've been doing it is you've called this witness on direct. The parties have all crossed. You've now redirected. I recognize that the additional testimony has been elicited through this additional questioning from the parties. So the parties should have an opportunity to recross, but I think it needs to be limited in time. So
I would argue it's limited to the scope.
Well,
of redirect.
It is. It is, except that other parties have. Right. You're right.
Right. And I tried just to clarify yesterday because, given the day and a half of testimony, it was kind of confusing. So I was trying to clarify what. I don't believe any new testimony was raised, but just clarifications. But.
And I agree with you that the recross should be based upon your questioning. So let's limit it to 10 minutes per party, okay? And do you guys have the ability to calculate the 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So, and please let's confine it to, the parties have substantially developed their records with respect to this witness, so I don't think it's necessary to go over again the points that have been previously made. So that having been said, Jarek, are we ready to start with 10 minutes for Mr. Mann?
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. LeBlanc, you've been involved in preparing IFBs for GPA in the past, have you not?
I have.
On other projects. Okay. Now, when GPA was at the point that, based on, I think you referred to a preliminary SIS, when you're at the point you realized you're going to need additional storage for the 60-megawatt Hanwha, for the 60-megawatt Hanwha facility, at that point in time, did GPA consider doing a procurement for that additional storage?
No.
Okay. You've done procurements for storage before, have you not?
Yes, we recently did.
In fact, you just recently did a procurement for LGCNS, the $43 million procurement for two energy storage facilities on Guam. Isn't that true?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. So at the time, you need additional energy storage, and you'd had experience in procuring additional energy storage at the time through a separate IFB. Isn't that correct so far?
We procured that storage, yes, we did.
Okay. So let me ask a question about this award of the microgrid. I'm just curious as to what we know about that award. For example, is there a warranty?
There's a penalty. We don't own it.
No, the warranty. Actually, when we talk about the microgrid, we're really talking about additional battery storage. Isn't that true?
That is true.
Okay. Is there a warranty on the battery storage?
There's an operation performance criteria on the storage, the operation of it.
When you did your microgrid, I'm sorry, when you did your ESS, or Energy Storage System project, with LGCNS, that was done via an IFB, was it not?
That is correct, and we own it.
And the IFB had provisions for the specifications for what was being provided?
Yes, and it was for frequency control, and it was for RIESS.
Yeah, well, you had requirements, what you expected to get. And a bond was required, I take it, as in any IFB?
Yes.
And there was probably provisions for a warranty?
Yes.
And for how long it was going to last? How long the contract was going to be for?
Yes.
So you entered into a contract with LGCNS where each side took on obligations. Isn't that true?
That's correct.
Okay, and that's what an IFB is like. Isn't that true?
Yes.
But we don't have an IFB. What we have, so far as I can make out, is two pages from Hanwha listing informational prices. And that's it. And based on that, GPA made an award, which over 25 years is $54 million. Isn't that correct?
There's a recommendation for an award for that amount.
Okay. So if that happens, the government would take on the obligation to pay $54 million over 25 years to Hanwha with no...
I would disagree that there's no criteria for that, sir. There is some criteria in the operation of that, and there's penalties associated with that.
Is it written down someplace?
It's written in our draft contract.
Were other people permitted to bid on that?
It wasn't part of the bid. It was an option.
Well, it wasn't even part of this bid. This solicitation, that microgrid, was not even part of the solicitation. Isn't that true?
I guess based on the recent evidence, we allowed us, GPA, to go into discussions and have that as a start of that discussion.
Ms. LeBlanc, you don't need to base your testimony on the prior evidence. I think what we need to know is what your position is. What is your testimony?
Okay, what is the question then? Sorry.
Was microgrid part of the IFB?
It was originally part of the IFB.
But your testimony before was ultimately it was not.
And then there was some information that's obviously changed that.
Is that Amendment 8 and 9?
Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Mann.
Well, if we're talking about Amendment 8, Amendment 8 says that... Paragraph 4, I just quoted, says that it starts out saying, for those proposals indicating capabilities of support for ancillary services, including but limited to microgrid operation, generation, scheduling, et cetera, goes on to say, GPA will consider the optional pricing provided in as the initial starting point for negotiating for these ancillary services with a proponent bidder receiving an award under the non-optional bid scope. Non-optional bid scope is a base bid, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so we have these words, starting point for negotiations. Is it GPA's position that when you do a procurement, is that done through negotiation or is it done through an IFB?
So this part, sir, is after the bid proposal. So I believe we're allowing some consideration for negotiations after the price, the initial price bid.
As you know, an IFB sets out, these are the requirements, and there are requirements. Here are the specifications. This is the guarantee we want. This is the performance we want. This is the penalty if you don't do it. It's all in writing, and bidders respond. But here you're just going to negotiate that? Isn't that what this says?
It appears so, sir.
Well, but wouldn't you agree in general when the government's going to procure something that's going to cost $54 million over 25 years, they need to do it through an IFB as opposed to negotiation?
In reading this, sir, I believe this was an allowance for that.
I'm sorry?
In reading this, sir, this was our allowance for that?
Well,
Were the part where the bidders allowed to adjust their prices after receiving Amendment 8? On the microgrid?
I believe this was submitted before the prices were submitted, and no prices were adjusted after the price proposals were received.
Thank you.
This whole idea for this microgrid came up as a result of your preliminary SIS study that showed that without a microgrid, extensive upgrades were going to be needed for the GPA grid. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And who would have paid for those upgrades?
It would depend on what the upgrades were. There are some existing conditions, and we would not have known, again, where these places would have been to identify those up front.
Well, generally, Hanwha is responsible for upgrades required by the SIS. Isn't that true?
Associated with their project, yes.
Okay, but, yeah, associated with the project, but you're talking about upgrades required if you don't have a microgrid. Isn't that what the preliminary SIS was about?
But there's existing conditions in our system already that would not necessarily be the fault of the proposals.
If the microgrid is added on, that reduces the upgrades to the GPA grid that will be required because you'll have additional storage in the microgrid. Isn't that true?
It will provide a reduction in the required infrastructure upgrades, but it's not necessarily a reduction on what Hanwha would have to do, because there are changes in their interconnection requirements.
Well, some of this spared Hanwha some expense in system upgrades which would otherwise have been required of Hanwha. Is that not true? By using the microgrid?
I don't know if that's entirely true. I would need to see those numbers.
Reviewing KEPCO's technical proposal?
Not their technical proposal, no, sir.
You did not review that?
No.
Okay. Do you happen to know whether KEPCO made any proposal in its technical proposal, whether it stated one way or the other, whether it would be overhead or underground in its transmission lines?
I can't recall at this point, sir.
You stated that yesterday, as I recall, that when asked if the forward progress of the SIS was checked because of this protest, I believe you said a portion of it was a poor. Was there a problem with ongoing with the progress of the SIS before the protest in this case was filed?
There was a lot of data and a lot of back and forth to discuss some of the potential issues that were coming out of it. So there's, you know, there's a lot of discussion to make sure that we're addressing issues and getting the right data to make some of the assumptions made.
But had they, David Burlingame was your SIS contractor, was he not?
Yes, he is.
And did he at some point complain that he was not getting the data he needed from Hanwha and KEPCO, especially KEPCO?
There were some issues in obtaining the necessary data, yes.
And he complained that was causing delay.
It was causing some delay, yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. Lyon, I'm just letting you know that you're beyond the 10 minutes, but go ahead and finish your line of questioning on this issue.
You stated, my last question, that when initially the bidders submitted their informational price information on the microgrid, to your understanding, they did not expect to get an award. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, when they...
The bidder submitted, in response to GPA's request, informational price information regarding a microgrid. And I believe you testified yesterday, and I just want to confirm that at that time, the bidders did not expect to actually receive an award based on the informational price information they had provided. Isn't that true?
Bidders shouldn't expect an award on an option.
Yes.
I mean, that's true. Yes.
No further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Before we go to you, Ms. Ariola, I just ask a question. So when the IFB was issued, was the intent of GPA, as far as you know, to advise the bidders that when they give the information on microgrid pricing, that GPA was going to rely on that in terms of potentially making an award?
Potentially, but there was no guarantee that we would award that.
But what was the purpose of asking the bidders to submit microgrid pricing?
It was to look at an option for potential, I guess, additional storage or allowing a microgrid situation. But it wasn't the initial portion of the bid. The bid was to receive energy.
And this is the language of the amendment seems to suggest it's an ancillary service?
Yes.
And it's your position that an ancillary service would not have had to have been separately bid in another IFB?
I mean, it could be in the future, but this was an option that we were choosing at the time.
Along that line, then, could this microgrid have been, after everything's done, gone out separately?
We could bid for additional storage for the purpose of energy shifting. That could be a different bid. We don't know where that would be. We would probably, I don't know, we don't have land to put storage on at this point. So just like these renewable bids, we would have developers identify the land and whether it be at Dundon, we don't know. It could be wherever a person can acquire land and put it storage.
But yesterday you did say that you could award Hanwha without the microgrid. Is that correct?
You could. It's an energy bid.
Yes.
So technically, we're awarding for the delivery of energy. Yes.
And the storage is optional.
It's an option, yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Ariola?
Thank you. Just a few questions, Ms. Ahmad. Can you take a look at Shanghai's exhibit binder and take a look at exhibits 8 and 9? So can you identify what exhibits 8 and 9 are?
It is the microgrid price proposals from Shanghai Electric for their two projects.
So Shanghai, like KEPCO and Hanwha, submitted price proposals for microgrids, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And they were, like all other bidders, they were asked for microgrid informational price options, and this is what they submitted, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, did Shanghai Consortium file a protest regarding any award of microgrid or the microgrid option?
I believe they did.
In this appeal, but at the time of the IFB, did the Shanghai Terra Consortium...
Oh, during the submittal of this?
Yes.
No, that I'm aware of, no, they did not.
Let me ask the question again, just to make the record clear. During the time of the price submissions and the bid proposal submissions from each of the different bidders, did Shanghai file a protest that the microgrid option should have been bid out separately?
I'm not in the procurement office, so I don't necessarily see all the documents, but to my knowledge, they did not.
Okay. Now, today, Shanghai is arguing that this microgrid option should have been bid out separately in a separate procurement. And they argued that it was not part of this IFB. But by submitting Exhibits 8 and 9, Shanghai is conceding that this is part of the IFB, isn't it?
It appears they're participating in this portion of the bid.
Okay. And to your knowledge, did the Shanghai Consortium raise any questions or protest about the microgrid option before filing their appeal in this case?
That they filed any protest prior to their... I'm sorry, can you repeat that again?
Sure. At the time that they submitted their bid proposal and these microgrid prices, to your knowledge, did Shanghai Consortium file any protest concerning the microgrid option?
No.
Okay.
Necessarily, you mean prior to notice of intent to award?
Yes, prior to notice of intent to award.
I don't believe so. I'm not sure of the timelines for that, but I don't believe they did.
I think the record speaks for itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ariella. Mr. Camacho.
I just have a couple questions. You testified, Mr. Mann brought up the issue of a current procurement
that you're doing for battery storage?
Yes.
And how much is that costing GPA?
I believe that's a $40 million purchase for a purchase which includes construction and the storage itself.
And GPA would own this storage?
And we own that. Yes.
And GPA would have to maintain?
So we hired for the operation and maintenance portion too.
And is that in addition to the $40 million?
That's in addition to, yes.
And how much is that contract?
I believe it's about, I don't know. I can't.
Ballpark figure? $10 million?
Annually? No.
Or, I mean, in the aggregate, let's just say.
I don't want to assume.
Okay, so what about annually?
Yeah, I can't.
Okay, so let's
sorry, that's not my project. I just know we have it.
Not a problem, but it's $40 million for GPA to buy the batteries, correct?
Yes.
And Mr. Mann also alluded to the fact that GPA also had to go out to the bond market, correct?
I'm not sure.
To finance.
We did go. It is a bond project, yes.
Okay, so.
It's an existing bond project because you already have you have current bonds right now that you haven't fully utilized.
It is a bond project, so yeah. It's being funded through bond funds.
Yeah.
Okay, so GPA had
it's
to
from
fund...
It's from a past bond project.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yes.
Sure. So
just for clarification.
Okay, no, thank you. So GPA had to pay up front $40 million for this storage?
Well, we're paying it as, through
as
the
it's
construction.
Built.
Yes.
And what's the timeline for the construction?
It's supposed to be about a year, so we're expecting it around the summer. May was the initial date.
Okay, so let's say in a year, you would have to pay the $40 million once the contract is done.
Basically, after construction, upon commissioning, we would have paid the cost of the facility.
And then you would have to hire someone to operate the storage facility for the distribution when GPA needed it?
For the operation of the storage, yes.
Okay. And with regard to all the bidders' pricing for their microgrid in this particular IFB, those prices are spread out over the 25-year period, correct?
That is correct.
And those prices are borne, well, GPA would pay those prices, but everything else, maintenance, operations, would be borne by the owner of the microgrid, which would be the bidder, correct?
And under the microgrid price, yes.
So the only thing GPA would have to worry about is paying the awarded bidder for the microgrid, that incremental amount that was in their proposal, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I have no further questions.
Thank you.
Right. along that line, and just since you opened the door, the batteries for approximately what size?
So there's two types of batteries. One is for, they call it for frequency control. Basically, when we have issues with our generators and we need to, either a unit goes down, one the battery should kind of replace it. So kind of like an RIDSS, but it's not.
But this
that.
Is not for renewable energy.
No,
it's
well,
for existing.
A portion of it is. So there's a 24. It's okay. So it's 24 megawatts. It's the largest discharge and charge output, and it's for 15 minutes. So basically, if there's any issues on our generators, either they trip or something like that, it's supposed to catch it. It's not like an RIDSS for solar, where it's constantly doing this. I mean, we don't expect it to do that too often. We have a little faith in our conventional generation system. And then we have a portion which is 16 megawatts, so that's the maximum charge or discharge for 1 hour, and that's for the energy facility, which is the solar facility existing at Denden.
So it's a combination, because that was what you learned from Denden, because of the lack of battery storage. The fluctuation has caused challenges in the grid.
Yeah, and that's...
And that's why this bid is asking to make sure that there won't be any fluctuation.
Yes, and it's not shifting,
right.
To be clear, and it's very little time as far as what it can store.
And then, but the rest of the batteries, though, is to as sort of a backup to your conventional generation.
Yeah. So when we have these, you know, these short outages that
yes.
you see, you have to reset your clocks. It's supposed to help prevent that.
Okay.
And it was something that we presented to the PUC to help manage the under-frequency load shedding that we do.
Thank you,
Mr. Botha. Very brief.
Oh, I don't think I'll have any need for that. I think Ms. Blonde has suffered enough. But, unless any of the witnesses wish her to subject to recall, she either sit and watch the rest of the entertainment proceedings or she gets dismissed.
Does anybody intend to recall Ms. Blonde?
No.
I need to hear the rest of the testimony before I can make a commitment on that one way or the other.
All right. So you understand that Mr. Wu was present in, well, he's the rep. Mr. Camacho?
I have no further questions.
Okay, so there's a possibility you may be recalled. I don't think, do you need her to stay here now?
No.
Okay. I mean, in the building?
No, it would, well, it depends on what's going to happen next.
So
like
it wouldn't be this morning, I don't think, anyway.
I would doubt it.
Okay. So, Ms. Blonde, I don't think you need to stay here.
If you were to go back to GPA, about how much lead time would you need to come back?
You know, it's in the NELA, the Fabian office. So
about
so
half an hour.
Half hour.
Okay. So just keep that in mind, Mr. Mann.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Almost. Mr. Boca, do you have another witness?
Well, actually, I would defer to Ms. Ariola, because I think, like Mr. Wu, she has clients that didn't plan on the entire 3 days, so I think I would defer to have them go. So I only have one additional witness, that would be Mr. Wu, but I think it would be appropriate to have the KEPCO witnesses go first.
Yeah, just keep in mind that Mr. Wu is leaving today at 3.
I understand that, but Ms. Ariola advised me that her clients also have travel plans. So.
And as to that line of questioning, that I've already sustained the objection, that's not going to be revisited.
Not the exact line of questions, but certainly as to whether he made a call to the gentleman or not.
He's admitted that.
Well, Mr. Wu admitted that?
Well, I'm sorry, no.
No, he did not admit
that.
I think that's quite clear he didn't. So I'd like to see if he's going to admit that the phone call was made.
Right. Ms. Ariola, do you want to call your witness now?
Okay, thank you. KEPCO LGCNS Consortium calls as its first witness Mr. Chong Kok Choi.
We'll need to swear in both the translator and the witness.
Thank you.
think first the translator.
Okay, sorry. Please state your name.
My name is Ji Young Hong.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will accurately, truthfully interpret the language of Korean to English and the English language to Korean for the testimony of Mr. Jung Kuk Choi?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Please state your name.
Choi 중국입니다.
My name is Jung Kuk Choi.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
네,
감사합니다.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Mr. Choi, where do you live?
어디에 사시는지요?
서울에 삽니다.
I live in Seoul, Korea.
And what is your occupation?
직업이 어떻게 되시는지요?
한국 전력공사에 근무합니다.
I work for Korea Electric Power Corporation.
That's also known as KEPCO?
캡코, 줄임말로 캡코입니까?
그렇습니다. Korean Electric Power Corporation입니다.
Yes, KEPCO stands for KEPCO stands for it's short for Korea Electric Power Corporation.
And what is your title and your duties and responsibilities at KEPCO?
캡코에서 어떠한 임무를 하시고 어떠한 직위를 가지고 계신지요?
해외 사업 본부의 부장입니다.
I am a general manager of the overseas project development in KEPCO.
그리고 제 임무는 미주, 아프리카, 유럽 등지에서 신재생 개발 업무를 총괄하고 있습니다.
And I'm in charge of overseas project development in the renewable sector in Africa, America, and Europe.
And now that would include Guam, correct?
그러면 괌 지역도 포함이 된다는 말씀이시죠?
그렇습니다. 괌은 미국이니까요.
Yes, Guam is included in the U.S.
Okay. And KEPCO is part of a consortium with a company called LGCNS. Is that true?
캡코는 캡코 LGCNS 컨소시엄의 한 부분인지요?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
When was the consortium formed?
언제 컨소시엄이 구성이 되었는지요?
지난해 그 IFB가 나온 이후에 6월 달에 MOU를 체결하고 컨소시엄을 구성했습니다.
So after IFB was announced in 2016, we signed MOU with LGCNS in June last year.
Okay, let's talk about the background of each consortium member. Let's start with KEPCO. First, what is KEPCO's experience in power projects?
그 사업 경험에 있어서 한전의 어떤 경험에 대해서 말씀해 주시겠습니까?
예, 그 한전의 사업 경험을 먼저 말씀드리기 전에 한전이 어떤 회사인지 먼저 말씀을 드려야 될 것 같은데요.
First, I tell you about the experiences that KEPCO in terms of the power projects. I have to tell you what KEPCO has been doing.
한국전력공사는 한국 대한민국 정부가 51%의 지분을 가지고 있는 국영 전력 회사입니다.
So KEPCO is a state-owned company, 51% of whose shares are owned by the Korean government.
국내에서는 총 발전 설비 100기가와트 중 약 80기가와트를 한전이 소유하고 있고.
And in terms of the power generation facilities in Korea, which is 100 gigawatt, KEPCO is in charge of 80 gigawatt.
그리고 한전 대한민국 내 유일한 송전 및 배전 사업자로서.
And KEPCO is also in charge of 100% of the transmission and distribution in Korea.
총 47만 서킷 킬로미터의 송 배전망을 운영하고 있습니다.
And we are operating about 470,000 kilometers circuit kilometers in Korea.
그 47만 서킷 킬로미터라고 하면 달까지 거리의 두 배 정도 1.2배 정도 됩니다.
So for your clear understanding, 470,000 kilowatt means that it's the distance to moon. It's 1.2 times distance to moon from Earth.
한국전력공사는 1995년에 그 국내 사업 외에도 1995년에 해외 사업을 시작을 했는데요.
We started our overseas projects in 1995.
동남아시아, 아프리카, 특히 중동, 미국 등지에서 약 20기가와트의 발전 설비를 운영하고 있습니다.
And since then, we have been operating about 20 gigawatt of the power generation facilities in Southeast Asia, Africa, China, and the U.S.
Okay, let me now ask you about the dollar value or the assets or sales of KEPCO, if you can give that to us.
You know, I doubt if we need to speed things up that we do not raise an objection to KEPCO's qualifications financially and technically.
And I was also looking, was there an exhibit regarding their background
there
that
is.
We would just be able to refer to? Because if so, I mean, it's for you to present how you deem appropriate, but...
There is. Our Exhibit 10 is a resume of KEPCO, and if I can hand that to the witness. It's with the exhibits that we provided to you earlier, but if you need separate exhibits, I have copies.
If it's already been provided, then I don't
It's already been
so.
Provided. Okay.
But if I could just have a moment to try to find it.
Sure.
Where is it again?
It's in the exhibits that we filed it with our exhibit list, but I have copies readily available if you need to take a look at them.
I believe the initial filing on October 16th, there was an exhibit list and all the resumes and descriptions of KEPCO were put in there at the time. I'm sorry, I filed on October 16th, sorry.
So again, it's for you to present how you deem
I'm not
going to
go much longer. I just want to bring out the background of each of the consortium members. Let's go to LGCNS. How many power projects, or what is their experience in power projects?
LGCNS 경우에는 어떠한 사업 경험을 가지고 있는지요?
LG CNS는 IT 및 에너지 분야의 토탈 솔루션을 제공하는 국내 재계 2위의 LG 그룹사입니다.
So LGCNS is a subsidiary of the LG Group in Korea, which is in charge of the IT and energy total solution.
사업 경험은 2007년부터 그 신재생 에너지 개발을 시작해서 불가리아 태양광이라든지 일본 히로시마 태양광과 같은 PV 프로젝트의 EPC 실적을 보유하고 있고 국내에서도 ESS 사업 실적을 다수 보유하고 있으며 특히 마지막으로 여기 지금 괌에서 1차 ESS 사업을 지금 수주하여서 지금 현재 건설에 착공한 상태입니다.
Since LGCNS started its project development in the renewable sector, it has participated in a lot of renewable projects including the PV project in Bulgaria and PV project in Hiroshima. And also, it has been involved in a great number of ESS projects in Korea. Furthermore, it won the contract of the Phase 1 PV renewable
ESS.
Project, ESS project in Guam. So it has started construction, the ESS here.
So just for the record, the LGCNS resume had been attached as Exhibit 11 and the KEPCO resume attached as Exhibit 10 to our exhibit list. So Mr. Choi, Mr. Choi, can you describe your experience with power and solar projects, please?
그 태양광 및 다른 사업에 대한 경험에 대해서 말씀해 주십시오.
저는 지금 말씀드린 대로 한국전력공사 해외사업본부에서 신재생 개발 업무를 총괄하고 있는데요.
So as I told you before, I'm a general manager in the overseas project development department in terms of the renewable sector in Korea, in KEPCO.
현재 진행 중인 사업으로는 아프리카 보츠와나 그리고 잠비아 등지에서 약 150메가와트 규모의 PV 프로젝트가 있고요.
And I'm I'm engaged in various projects, including the renewable projects in Botswana and Zambia in Africa, which is 150 megawatts in total.
현재 또 미국에서 텍사스 460메가와트 규모의 풍력발전 그리고 캐나다 사스케치원주에서 200메가와트 규모의 풍력발전 사업을 현재 디렉팅하고 있습니다.
And currently I am directing the wind power project in Texas, which is 460 megawatt project and 200 megawatt wind project in Canada.
Mr. Choi, let me just ask about your involvement in the Guam project. Are you involved in the Guam project?
지금 현재 괌 사업에 참여하고 계신지요?
네, 그렇습니다. 비드 프라이스 비딩 직전부터 참여하고 있습니다.
Yes, just before the price bidding, I have started to participate in this project.
Okay, and when did the consortium first learn of this IFB?
이 그 괌 IFB에 대해서 언제부터 아시게 되었는지요?
물론 제 전임자가 시작을 했지만 저 그 캡코와 LGCNS는 5월에 IFB가 발급된 이후로 바로 IFB 분석 작업에 착수한 걸로 제가 알고 있습니다.
So actually my predecessor started this project, but as far as I know, since the IFB was announced in May last year, KEPCO and LGCNS cooperated to analyze this IFB.
What was your understanding of what this IFB was soliciting here in Guam?
괌에서 이 IFB가 어떤 것을 이제 procure 하려고 그러니까 사업을 얻으려고 하는지 아셨는지요?
그 캡코와 LGCNS 컨소시엄의 정확한 이해는 60메가와트 규모의 신재생 플러스 램프 컨트롤을 위한 최소한의 ESS를 발주한 걸로 이해했습니다.
So to my understanding, to my consortium's understanding, the GPA was soliciting 60 megawatt renewable energy project with ESS for ramping control.
Okay, and what did the consortium do to submit a proposal in response to this IFB?
이 IFB에 대해서 어떤 제안서를 내기 위해서 어떤 것을 하셨는지요?
통상적으로 그 우선 착수했던 것은 가장 괌에 적합한 리뉴어블 에너지가 어떤 것인지 결론은 당연히 태양광이었고요.
So first of all, we tried to find out the most optimal the renewable energy for the Guam, and we came to a conclusion that it was PV.
그리고 기술적으로 램핑 컨트롤을 그 괌 IFB에서 요구하는 분당 플러스 마이너스 2%의 램핑 컨트롤 플러스 마이너스 1%의 그 램핑 컨트롤 요구 조건을 충족하기 위한 정확한 ESS 사이즈를 계산하는 등 기술 입찰서를 준비를 시작을 했습니다.
And at that time, GPA required the ramping control, which was plus minus 1% per minute. So we tried to optimize our technical proposals for the best ESS for Guam.
Okay, and while you were looking at submitting the proposal, did you hire any advisors in any field or expertise to assist the consortium in submitting its proposal?
이 사업서를 제출하기 위해서 어떤 외부의 뭐 어떤 어드바이저를 고용하셨는지요?
당연히 많은 어드바이저가 필요합니다.
Of course, it requires a great number of advisors.
특히 그 재무 모델을 정확하게 만들기 위해서 재정 자문사가 필요하고요. Financial advisor.
So we need a financial advisor for financing model.
그 외에도 각종 그 텍스라든지 보험 인슈런스라든지 또 특히 리갈 어드바이저라든지 이런 그 어드바이저들을 사업 초기부터 선정을 했습니다.
And we hired advisors in the tax, insurance and legal fields from the initial stage of our project.
Did you also hire engineers?
엔지니어도 고용하셨는지요?
테크니컬 어드바이저 같은 경우는 주로 그 LGCNS 단연간의 그 EPC 컨트랙터로서의 경험과 ESS 사업자로서의 경험을 보유하고 있는 LGCNS가 자체적으로 분석을 해왔고 지금 현재는 대주단과의 금융 협상을 위해서 테크니컬 어드바이저 및 건설 기간 중에 어떤 우리의 필요에 의해서 오너스 엔지니어를 동시에 지금 선임 중에 있습니다.
And In terms of the technical advisors, we received advice from the LGCNS, which had a lot of experiences in EPC contracting and ESS. And then we are now trying to hire technical advisors for the invite of the lenders and the project itself.
So just in terms of, for example, legal advisors, you hired my firm and the ORIC firm, correct?
그 저 법정 자문사 같은 경우에는 이제 아리올라 변호사니까 그리고 오릭을 고용하신 게 맞죠?
맞습니다.
Yes.
Did you hire any other local companies or individuals to assist in this proposal?
그리고 이 사업을 돕기 위해서 어떤 괌 지역의 어떤 그 어드바이저를 고용하셨는지요?
그렇습니다. 그 초기 사업의 어떤 엔지니어링을 위해서 TG 엔지니어링을 지금 현재 선임해서 사용 중에 있습니다.
So aside from the legal advisors, we hired the WAM engineers, which is TG Engineer.
Now, during the course of submitting its proposal, the consortium attended the pre-bid conferences and meetings, correct?
이 제안서를 제출하기 위해서 pre-bid 컨퍼런스에 참여하셨는지요?
그 당시에 저는 아니었지만 참석한 걸로 제가 보고를 받았습니다.
It was not me, however, other my colleague participated in the pre-bid conference.
Altogether, how many members of the project team were comprised in the KEPCO LGCNS consortium?
KEPCO LGCNS consortium에서 몇 명의 어떤 직원들이 이 사업을 위해서 투입되었는지요?
아까 말씀드린 외부 자문사를 제외하고도 KEPCO와 LG 쪽에서 internally 최소 30명 이상의 직원들이 현재 지금 이 프로젝트에 인발되어 있습니다.
So aside from the legal, aside from the advisors that I mentioned before, about at least 30 employees from KEPCO and LG consort, LG CNS participate in this project.
Now, 30 each, 30 from each or 30 total?
30 in total.
Did the consortium submit any questions in response to the IFB?
그 IFB에 대한 어떤 의문 사항을 제출하신 적이 있으신지요?
당연히 입찰서를 내기 위해서는 IFB에 대한 명확한 이해가 필요하기 때문에 많은 이슈를 많은 질문을 했었고 많은 답변을 받았습니다.
Yes, for a clear understanding of the IFB, we raised a lot of questions and questions to GPA, and we did receive clear answers to our questions. Questions from GPA.
Now, in your personal experience, Mr. Choi, have you been involved in government procurement projects?
그 경험을 비추어 보셨을 때 과거에 어떤 정부 입찰 사업에 참여하신 적 있으신지요?
주로 한전이 아까 말씀드린 대로 어떤 구경 기업이기 때문에 가급적이면 개발 사업 그 개발 사업 그러니까 먼저 제안형 사업, 프로포절 사업보다는 이 비딩 사업을 선호하고요. 비딩 사업은 대부분 정부 내지는 정부에서 운영하는 국영 전력 공사에서 발주하는 경우가 많습니다. 그래서 제 경험의 대부분은 정부 입찰 사업에 참여한 것입니다.
So as I said before, KEPCO is a state-owned company, so we prefer the bidding project rather than just development project from the initial stage. And so that's why I have a lot of experiences in the government procurement projects.
Did the consortium have any confusion about the IFB requirements?
그 저희 KEPCO 컨소시엄이 IFB에 대해서 어떤 많은 어떤 혼란이나 또 의문사항이 있었는지요?
지금 괌 전력청에서 발급한 이렇게 이슈한 이 IFB는 제가 경험했던 그 많은 IFB, 뭐 RFP라고도 하는데요. 그런 것들 중에 상당히 이해가 명확한 편이었고 다만 저희들이 많은 질문을 했던 것은 통상적으로 말씀드린 대로 정확한 입찰을 제출하기 위해서 많은 클래리피케이션을 했던 것입니다. 비교적 명확한 수준이었습니다.
Yes. From my experiences in the project, I think the IFB, which can be called as RFP, which is request for bid, was very unequivocal, clear, and easy to understand. So, however, even though it was very easy to understand, I made a lot of clarification requests because I really wanted to make sure that we understood everything about IFB.
Okay, and so as part of the IFB, the consortium submitted a proposal for on behalf of the consortium, correct?
그 IFB에 대해서 제안서를 제출하셨죠?
아, 그렇습니다.
Yes.
And can you please describe what that proposal was?
이 제안서가 어땠는지 대해서 좀 설명해 주시겠습니까?
좀 불어도한 개수천인데요.
With the, yeah, with the, let's start with the technical.
먼저 기술적인 부분에 대해서 말씀해 주십시오.
통상적으로 기술 입찰서는 테크니컬 프로포절의 경우에는 IFB를 정확히 분석해서 이쪽에서 요구하는 수준을 최소한도의 이퀴프먼트로 달성하기 위해서 옵티마이즈하는 그런 과정입니다.
So in terms of the technical proposal, we need to fully understand IFB to meet its requirements with the minimum equipment.
거기까지.
Yes, and so what did the consortium do to submit its bid proposal on the technical requirements?
이 기술 그 제안서를 내기 위해서 컨소시엄이 어떤 것을 하셨는지요?
말씀드린 대로 IFB를 철저히 분석했고요. IFB를 철저히 분석했고 괌 전력청에서 어떠한 발전소와 어떠한 형태의 이 어떠한 수준의 기능을 가진 ESS를 필요로 하는지를 파악을 했습니다.
We actually thoroughly analyzed IFB and we tried to and we analyzed what kind of power generation facilities GPA wants and what level of the ESS the GPA wants.
So the consortium submitted two 30 megawatt bid submissions for two project sites. Is that right?
두 개의 장소에서 이제 두 개의 30 메가와트 사업을 제안하신 게 맞습니까?
네, 맞습니다.
Yes.
And where were the project sites located?
그 프로젝트 사이트가 어디입니까?
망길라오입니다.
망길라오.
And is it correct that that's also known as the Marbo Caves area?
그 마보 케이브 에리아라고도 합니까?
예, 마보 케이브 바로 근처입니다.
Yes, it's just near the Marble Cave.
And it was your understanding that the consortium submission of two 30 megawatt bid submissions on two project sites those complied with the IFB requirements?
두 개의 30 메가와트짜리의 사업을 제출하셨는데 이게 IFB에서 요구하는 사항과 이제 그 맞는지 이 그
requirement를
따르는 거라고 생각을 하시는지요?
그렇습니다. 그리고 저희들 맞고요. 그 최대 60메가와트까지 30메가 사이트 두 개 60메가와트까지 각 비더들이 제출할 수 있게 되어 있었습니다.
Yes, I totally believe that we complied with the requirements of the IFB and as far as I know, the 60 megawatt in total was allowed to each bidder.
Okay, and then with the price proposal, what was the consortium's price proposal?
그러면 가격 입찰에 대해서는 또 어떠셨습니까?
통상적으로 입찰자는 가격을 좋은 경쟁력 있는 가격을 만드는 것이 궁극적인 목표인데요. 그 경쟁력 있는 가격을 만들기 위해서는 주로 건설비 이때는 토지 구매 또는 리스 비용이 포함된 건설비와 그다음에 운영 단계에서의 25년간의 운영비 그리고 금융 조달 비용, 그리고 자기 자본에 대한 자기 자본 비용, 기타 자문료 등이 있는데요. 그 비용 요소를 철저하게 미니마이즈하는 것이 궁극적인 가격 입찰 과정의 목표입니다.
So for the price proposal, it is essential to come up with the most competitive and lowest price. So and as you know, this price consists of construction cost, which is construction cost including the land acquisition and land lease, and operational cost for 25 years, including financing and our own equities and advisor fees. So in a nutshell, it is essential for bidder to minimize and optimize the cost for the project.
그것들을 위해서 저희들은 기술 입찰, 가격 입찰을 내기 전에 저희들이 통상적으로 파이낸싱 마켓에서의 마켓 사운딩도 실시를 했고요. 그리고 그 이 건설비라든지 운영비를 줄이기 위해서 각 그 매니팩처러라든지 컨스트럭션 컨트랙터들과의 사전 협상을 충분히 통해서 저희들이 확실한 가격을 만들기 위해서 노력했습니다.
So before we submitted price proposal, we made a lot of efforts in financing, such as market sounding, and also to minimize the construction cost and operational cost, we implemented negotiations with manufacturers and contractors.
So what was the price that the consortium ultimately submitted in response to the IFB?
이 IFB에 제출하신 가격이 어떻게 되셨는지요?
메가와트당 85.5불이었습니다. 두 개 사이트 동일한 가격으로 제출했습니다.
So we submitted $85.5 per megawatt hour for two sites.
Okay. And when GPA considered all of the IFB bid submissions, how was the consortium ranked?
IFB를 내셨을 때 몇 등 하셨는지요?
저희들이 알고 있기로는 3등과 4등을 한 것으로 알고 있습니다. 공동 3등이게 되겠죠. 두 개가 사이트, 저희 사이트 두 개 가격이 같으니까.
So to my knowledge, we were ranked third and fourth. But the thing is, the price for the proposal is the same. Maybe we can call ourselves just third. We were ranked third.
Okay. And did the consortium receive a notice of intent to award from GPA regarding its bid submission?
그 이 사업 제출하는 데 있어서 notice of intent를 받으셨는지요?
받았습니다.
Yes, we did.
Okay, so I want to go to the Shanghai protests and why we're here today and the grounds that they have asserted for their appeal. Let's go first with Shanghai's protest that GPA impermissibly doubled the size of the procurement.
그 GPA가 어떤 이 2차 사업의 사이즈를 두 배를 했다고 지금 해서 지금 이 법정이 있는데 이거에 대해서 어떻게 생각하시는지.
Upon your reading of the IFB requirements, was GPA allowed to increase the megawatts from 60 to 120?
그 IFB를 보셨을 때 지금 GPA가 60MW에서 120MW로 올리는 거에 것이 가능하다고 생각을 하셨는지요?
가능하다고 생각을 했고요. 그 이유는
yes. I think that GPA is allowed to increase 60 from 60 megawatt to 120 megawatt.
그 IFB에 따르면 각 비더들은 두 개 사이트 각 사이트에 최대 30메가씩 최대 두 개 사이트까지 토탈 60메가와트를 제출할 수 있게 되어 있지만 발주처 즉 GPA는 그 비딩 커패시티를 증감할 수 있다라고 되어 있고요.
And according to the IFB, each bidder is allowed to propose up to 30 megawatt in two sites, which is 60 megawatt in total. And as we heard yesterday, the GPA reserves the right to increase or decrease the quantity or the type of the procurement.
excuse me. 어제 들어서 그런 게 아니고 IFB에 우리가 읽었을 때 그렇게 돼 있었어.
And sorry.
우리가 해석했어.
So from my understanding from the IFB, I clearly understood that GPA reserves the right to increase and decrease the quantity or the type of the procurement.
이것은 지금 국내에서 사실상 전력 사업을 총괄하고 있는 한국전력공사의 경험에 따르면
So let me give you a brief experience that Capco has been through in Korea.
발주처가 기대하는 어떤 수준의 가격이 있는데 그 가격을 모든 비더들이 크게 초과할 수도 있고
So there is a price that the project owner wants, and the price can the bidder can actually exceed the price, or
all bidders들이
the all bidders can exceed the price.
어떤 경우에는 여러 winning bidder가 나올 수도 있는 것이 그 제출된 가격들이 자기가 기대했던 가격보다 매우 낮은 선에서 매우 경쟁력 있는 가격들을 제출하는 경우가 있습니다.
And sometimes there may be several winning bidders because the prices they proposed were below the price standard that the project owner wanted.
전자의 경우, 즉 많은 비더들이 발주처가 기대했던 가격보다 전부 초과하는 가격을 냈을 때는 발주처는 어느 비더도 winning bidder로 선정하지 않을 수도 있고요.
So in the previous case, if all of the bidders proposed the exceeding cost, then I mean more than the standard cost that project owner wanted, in that case, the project owner is allowed not to choose any of the bidder.
그리고 어떤 특정 그 기대했던 어떤 가격보다 그 우수한 그 입찰 단가가 제출된 경우가 많을 경우에는 당초에 생각했던 것보다 더 많은 비더를 위닝 비더로 선정할 수도 있는 것입니다.
And in the latter case, which is the bidders proposed lower prices than the standard price, in that case, the project owner can choose a great number of bidders than they expected.
Okay, let me ask about this particular IFB. So the consortium, like all the other bidders, did not know that GPA would award 120 megawatts. Is that true?
그 IFB를 이제 제출하셨을 때 GPA가 120메가와트를 올릴 것을 모르셨나요?
아 당연히 몰랐죠.
Yes, we didn't know that.
예, 그 당연히 그거는 알 수가 없었고요.
So we didn't know that the GPA would increase their procurement capacity to 120 megawatts.
And that was the same. That was true for all of the bidders, correct?
그건 모든 어떤 비더들이 다 알고 있던 사실이었나요?
그렇습니다.
Yes, I think so.
And so in that instance, all of the bidders were treated the same, correct?
그러니까 이 경우에는 모든 비더들이 똑같은 그러니까 똑같이 몰랐다는 걸 의미하시죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
Okay. And so let's talk about the underground and the overhead transmission lines. Based on the consortium's reading of the IFB requirements, did GPA require underground or overhead lines?
그 IFB를 보셨을 때 그 GPA가 뭐 언더그라운드나 오버헤드 트랜스미션 라인즈를 이제 요구한 그런 사항이 있었나요?
일단은 그 IFB에 가공 라인과 지중 라인에 대한 창고 가격이 처음부터 제시가 되어 있었습니다.
So in IFB there were cost estimates for overhead transmission lines and underground transmission lines.
그 뜻은 나중에 GPA가 어떤 클래리피케이션 과정에서 strongly recommend 한다고는 돼 있었지만 그 뜻은 무슨 뜻이냐면 필요에 따라서는 가공과 지중을 선택해서 공사를 할 수 있다라는 뜻으로 명확히 이해했습니다.
So so even though the GPA said it strongly recommends the underground transmission lines in the clarification process, but I understood that because of the cost estimates for overhead and underground transmission lines in IFB, I thought that the GPA can choose overhead or underground later.
And also, it was up to the bidder to decide whether to include overhead or underground lines in their bid, correct?
그러니까 이제 그 어떤 저희 그 비더들이 그 오버헤드나 언더헤드를 선택하는 것이 그러니까 그 선택할 수 있다라는 것을 또 의미하시는 거죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
And so what did the consortium do in this case? Did it choose overhead, underground lines, both?
저희 같은 경우에는 언더그라운드를 선택했는지 아니면 오버헤드를 선택했는지 아니면 두 개 다를 선택하셨는지요?
결론부터 말씀드리면 두 개 다를 선택을 했는데요.
So in conclusion, we decided to go over and under both.
그것은 저희가 기술 입찰서 제출 전에 이미 저희가 어디에 발전소를 위치할지 그거에 대해서 심각하게 많은 지역을 대상으로 검토한 후에 가장 그 유력한 곳을 한 곳을 선정을 했었고 그 곳을 사전에 충분히 답사했고요. 그 가까운 변전소라든지 그 지형이라든지 지질이라든지 이런 부분들에 대한 충분한 스터디 후에 저희들이 일부 가공 구간, 일부 지중 구간으로 설계를 해서 기술 입찰을 제출을 했습니다.
So before we submitted our technical proposal, we made a great number of site visits and did a lot of site surveys and we chose the best and optimal site for substation and we fully studied substations and geography around there and then we decided to go over in some area and go under in other areas.
Okay, and just to back up for a minute, how many site locations did you look at?
몇 개의 사이트를 보셨는지요?
다섯 개 이상 정도 봤다고만 말씀드리겠습니다.
I can just tell you that it's just more than five sites.
Okay. And ultimately, you decided on the Marble Cave site.
그래서 결국에는 Marble Cave site를 선택하신 거죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
And the consortium submitted a combination of overhead and underground transmission lines, and they believe that that complied with the IFB requirements, correct?
가공지 중 다 이렇게 그 복합해서 이제 트랜스미션 라인스를 선택하셨는데 이 어, 그렇죠?
어 그렇습니다.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Shanghai's next complaint, and that is about the LEAC rate.
아, LEAC rate에 대해서 말씀드리겠습니다.
Are we okay with time?
Yeah, I mean, yes, the 10 minutes was with respect to that stage of the examinations.
Right. No, I just meant in terms of a break, or should we
it
go on?
It depends on how long you're going to be.
I really don't think that I'm going to be that much longer, but maybe I should just proceed until
then
about
10:30.
Then
we'll break after you finish.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mr. Choi, do you need some water? Are you okay?
Thank you.
Okay. There's been a lot of discussion that you have heard about the LEAC rate. What was your understanding of the LEAC rate in the IFB?
IFB에서 LEAC rate에 대해서 어떻게 이해를 하셨는지요?
나라마다 비슷한 개념이 있는데요. 그 여기에서 말하는 이 괌에서 이야기하는 리약은 매우 명확한 개념으로서 6개월마다 한 번씩 GPA에서 연료 가격 그 변동을 반영한 이 현재 발전 단가를 공시하고 있는 걸로 저는 이해하고 있습니다.
So many countries around the world have the similar concept to LEAC. As far as I know, the GPA discloses the LEAC every 6 months, reflecting the fuel cost.
And so what was the requirement of the IFB regarding LEAC? Isn't it true that GPA wanted to see the cost at or below the LEAC rate?
그 IFB를 보면은 GPA가 그 이 비용이 LEAC의 리약이랑 비슷하거나 리약 밑으로의 가격을 제출하기를 원한다고 되어 있는지요?
제 기억에 의하면 그 정확한 영문 표현은 we would like to로 기억을 하고 있는데요. 가급적이면 리약보다 리약에 비슷하거나 낮은 단가의 사업자를 위닝 비더로 선정하겠다는 뜻으로 이해했습니다.
So to my from my memory, I saw the expression would like to from GPA, but to my understanding, GPA wanted to choose bidders who proposed cost which is close to or under LEAC.
Was there any doubt in the consortium's mind about that particular requirement in the IFB?
이 요구사항에 대해서 어떤 뭐 혼란이나 이해하지 못하는 부분이 있었나요?
전혀 없었습니다.
Yeah, I could understand it clearly.
Okay, and there's also been a lot of discussion about the term avoided costs. What role, if any, did that play in the IFB requirements?
Avoided cost라는 게 있었는데요. 그 IFB가 요구한 사항에 대해서 avoided cost는 어떤 것을 의미하는지요?
Avoided cost는 리약과는 매우 다른 개념입니다.
I think avoided cost is different from LEAC.
여기서 avoided cost를 어떻게 계산하는지 어떤 개념인지 설명하는 건 너무 길고 무의미할 것 같고요.
I think it is meaningless to tell you how to calculate the avoided cost because it is going to take a lot of time.
그 avoided cost는 간단히 이해하자면 어떤 그 신재생 발전소를 도입하기 위한 일종의 기회비용 같은 것입니다.
So in a nutshell, avoided cost is a kind of opportunity cost to conduct renewable power generation.
그렇지만 avoided cost가 굉장히 복잡한 개념이긴 하지만 비더들이 입찰 단계에서 전혀 신경 쓸 필요가 없었던 개념이었던 것은
Although the avoided cost, the concept of the avoided cost is complex, however, there is no need for bidders to consider it seriously.
At the bid station.
Why is that?
Avoided cost가 괌에서의 avoided cost는 지금 굉장히 높게 형성이 돼 있을 것입니다. 왜냐하면 1차 리뉴어블 그 사업이 그 NRG가 수행하고 있는 지금 현재 NRG가 오퍼레이션하고 있는 리뉴어블 사업의 단가가 190불 메가와트 아워당 190불 수준으로 알고 있는데요.
So I think because the avoided cost in Guam is set very high because as far as I know, the NRG, which is the contractor of the phase one renewable power project in Guam, did submit the price, which was $190 per megawatt hour, which was very high.
우리가 어떤 입찰자가 그거보다 낮은 190불보다 낮은 가격을 제출하게 되면 그 avoided cost는 무조건 떨어지게 돼 있습니다.
So if any bidder submit a proposal which is lower than the price of the energy, which is $190 per megawatt, it means that the avoided cost will decrease.
그렇지만 최근에 그 신재생 발전소의 건설 비용이 크게 하락하고 있는 점을 고려했을 때는 당연히 190불보다는 훨씬 낮은 가격을 써야 되기 때문에 그 만들어내야 되기 때문에 당연히 그 현재 있는 어보이드 코스트는 우리 고려 대상이 아니었습니다.
So as you know, the construction cost for the renewable energy facilities is on the decrease. So we didn't actually have to consider the avoided cost very seriously.
Because
it is going to be lower than the current $190 per megawatt hour.
And that's what you base the bid on.
이게 바로 이제 이걸 바탕으로 이제 그 제출서를
그렇습니다. 그래서 제가 결론적으로 말씀드리면 거기에 두 가지 저희들이 유의할 가격이 있었는데 그게 첫 번째가 avoided cost였고 두 번째가 리약이었는데 avoided cost는 이미 굉장히 높은 수준이었기 때문에 우리가 그것을 미트하는 데는 전혀 애로사항이 없었고 다만 저희들이 리약에 가깝게 또는 그보다 낮게 비드 프라이스를 내기 위해서 최선을 다했던 것입니다.
Yes, in conclusion, as I told you before, the avoided costs must be very high, so we didn't actually consider the avoided costs very seriously. However, there was a comment on the LIAC in the IFB, so we made our efforts to make our cost close to or under the LIAC.
Okay, and that was based on the comments and the response to a question in the IFB, correct?
그래서 IFB에 있었던 그런 어떤 요구사항이나 퀘스천에 따라서 그렇게 하셨다는 말씀이신
그렇습니다.
거죠?
그렇습니다. 예, IFB가 그 부분에 대해서 매우 명확했습니다.
Yes, IFB was really clear about this issue.
Okay. And the consortium didn't have any question or confusion about it.
그래서 컨소시엄은 이에 대한 어떤 질문이나 의문사항을 가지고 있지 않으셨단 말씀이신 거죠?
아 물론 클래리피케이션 하는 과정에서 저희들도 지켜봤고 관련된 질문을 한 적도 있는데요. 그걸 통해서 저희들은 뭐 충분히 명확한 입장을 가질 수 있었습니다.
Of course, we went through the clarification process and we made our questions on this issue, but we did receive clear answer from GPA on this issue.
경우에 따라서는 알고 있는 것도 서로 그 컨펌을 해야 되는 경우가 있기 때문에 그런 부분까지도 저희들은 충분히 질문을 했었습니다.
So in some cases, even though we know something, but we need to ask questions to confirm this is really right.
And the ability to ask questions and seek clarifications all along the way during the procurement process for this IFB was available to all the bidders, not just the consortium, correct?
그러니까 이러한 질문을 하고 클래리피케이션을 할 수 있는 그런 것들이 단지 우리 컨소시엄에만 허락된 것이 아니라 모든 비더들에게 허락됐다는 것이죠?
당연히 그렇습니다.
Yes.
Okay. Now, once the consortium was given the notice of intent to award, then what were the next steps that were taken?
Ms. Ariella, before you move on from LIAC, can you just clarify the price proposal from the consortium was $85.5? Right? Or
yes.
Per megawatt hour for two sites?
Yes.
And then
for
that was at or below
for
the
each of
Liac
the
rate?
Two sites.
That was at or below the Liac rate?
Yes.
Okay. Was it below?
85.5달러가 이게 리약의 아래 리약보다 현재 낮은 수준이었는지요?
리약은 6개월마다 이렇게 변동을 합니다. 연료 가격이 반영돼서. 그래서 과거 추세를 저희들도 분석을 했고요. 역대 히스토리컬 로 포인트보다 저희들이 낮게 쓰려고 많은 노력을 기울였습니다.
So as I said before, the Liac is disclosed by the GPA every 6 months. So we actually tried to analyze the trend of the Liac over the past several years, and we tried to minimize the cost close to or below the Liac.
Okay, so the question from the hearing officer was the consortium's bid at or below the current Liac rate?
그 지금 저희 컨소시엄 비드가 Liac보다 가깝거나 아니면 낮은 그런 가격이시죠?
저는 그렇게 알고 있습니다.
Yes.
At or below.
그 리아과 비슷한 건지 아니면 리아과보다 아주 낮은 것인지.
제가 알고 있는 바로는 그 리아의 가장 낮은 수준보다는 저희가 낮은 걸로 알고 있습니다.
So as far as I know, we are much below than Liac.
Okay.
Thank you.
And after the notice of attempt was awarded to the consortium, were there any steps taken then to provide a system impact study?
그러니까 notice of intent를 받고 나서 SIS를 진행하기 위해서 어떠한 조치를 취하셨는지요?
이번 프로젝트에서는 어제 그 우리 로이어가 언급한 대로 이 멀티스텝 그 비드입니다.
So this project is multi-step bid.
그 인텐트 어워드라는 것은 어워드가 아니고 어워드를 하겠다는 어워드를 할 수 있다는 그런 그 GPA의 뜻이고요. 그리고 그것은 이 SIS 그러니까 시스템 임팩트 스터디 결과에 따라서 개통에 영향이 없이 또는 개통에 데미지가 없이 접속할 수 있다는 확신이 들 경우에 조건부로 위닝 비더로 선정하겠다는 그런 뜻이었습니다.
So the notice of intent to award just shows the willingness of the GPA to award the bid to us. So it means that according to the results of the system impact study, after evaluating the possible impact on the existing system, they can choose us or not as a winning bidder.
물론 시스템 임팩트 스터디 결과 우리가 제출했던 그 사이트가 충분히 괌 전력망에 접속하기가 어렵거나 막대한 비용이 추가로 소요가 된다면 비더도 그 입찰 보증금을 돌려받고 비드를 포기할 수도 있는 상황이었습니다.
So as a result of the SIS, if it is found out that our proposal is not appropriate for the Guam's existing system, or is it's going to have a negative impact on the existing system, we can actually refund of the bid bond that we presented to GPA, and we can walk out.
그래서 인텐트 어워드를 받고 난 직후에 개통 영향 평가를 위한 모든 우리 그 발전소의 스펙 자료를 제출을 했고요. 그 시스템 임팩트 스터디에 돌입을 했습니다.
So as soon as we received the intent to the notice of the intent to award, we presented our specifications of our project and we analyzed this one.
So but you have not received a final system impact study because there's been a stay in this procurement, correct?
이제 지금 현재 입찰 그 과정 중단으로 인해서 SIS의 최종 보는 받지 못한 상태이시죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
And is it your understanding that the system impact study would only be done for winning bidders?
근데 SIS는 단지 winning bidder에게만 허락이 된다는 것이죠?
IFB에 그렇게 되어 있습니다.
Yeah, according to the IFB, yes.
Okay, and so only the winning bidders would be required to pay for the system impact study as well, correct?
그러니까 winning bidder만 ESIS를 수행하는 비용을 낸다는 말씀이시죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
Now, the consortium submitted a microgrid pricing option, correct?
저희 컨소시엄도 마이크로그리드 옵션을 내셨죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
Now, Shanghai has not submitted a protest with respect to the microgrid option against the KEPCO LGCNS consortium.
그 샹하이 같은 경우에는 이 마이크로그리드 옵션에 대해서 LGCNS 컨소시엄에 대해서는 이제 어떤 프로테스트를 하지 않았죠?
But was the microgrid option a part of this IFB?
이 마이크로그리드는 IFB의 한 부분인가 속해 한 부분으로 속해 있었는지요?
아 마이크로그리드는 informational option으로 GPA가 요구한 사항입니다.
So the, according to the IFB, GPA required microgrid option as an informational.
전력 사업의 올해 이거 유틸리티로서 저희 회사와 저의 경험에 따르면
so from my experience who has been working in our company as a power utility in Korea
이러한 그 발전 부지를 발주처가 발전 부지를 정해 주지 않은 경우에 발전 사업자가 그러니까 비더가 어떤 특정 부지를 가지고 들어오는데 그것이 개통에 접속하기가 용이한지 어려운지 개통에 접속할 때 얼마나 많은 설비가 보강되어야 되는지 이런 부분에 대해서 특히 경우에 따라서는 마이크로그리드 옵션이 반드시 필요할 수도 있기 때문에 그 부분을 옵션으로 제출하라고 요구를 했던 것으로 이해하고 있고요.
So to my understanding, when the project site is not decided initially, we have to implement a study to find out whether the interconnection is going to be easy or difficult and how much supplementation is going to be added to the existing grid. So that's why I think the GPA requested us to present microgrid option.
And so, for example, if there had been some interconnection issues with the consortium's bid, then GPA might also have required or asked that you also implement a microgrid option, correct?
그래서 만약에 인터커넥션을 하는 데 있어서 만약 어려움이 있었다면 GPA는 저희한테도 마이크로그리드를 이제 설치하라고 요구를 했을 테죠.
제 이해는 충분히 그렇습니다.
To my understanding, yes.
And because the KEPCO LGCNS consortium's bid did not raise those kinds of issues, the microgrid option was not necessary for the consortium's bid.
그래서 개통 접속을 하는데 저희는 그러한 어려움이 없었기 때문에 저희는 마이크로그리드 옵션이 채택되지 않았고 그러니까 굳이 필요가 없었 그러니까 채택되지 않았던 거죠.
그렇습니다. 저희가 그 마이크로그리드 옵션이 필요 없는 그런 그 접속을 위해서 많은 사이트를 사전에 스터디를 했던 거고요. 그런
Yeah, we actually studied a lot of sites which does not need a microgrid option.
Okay, but my question is this. So my question is, the KEPCO LGCNS consortium's bid did not raise interconnection issues that required a microgrid option, correct?
그러니까 KEPCO 컨소시엄 같은 경우에는 이제 그 개통 접속에 대해서 어떤 그러니까 마이크로그리드 옵션과 관련된 어떤 문제가 없었다는
그렇습니다. 마이크로그리드 옵션이 필요 없는 걸로 알고 있습니다. 물론 아직 시스템 임팩트 스터디 파이널 그 리절트가 아직 저희한테 안 왔기 때문에 즉 GPA가 추가로 GPA와 그 부분은 컨펌을 해야 되겠지만 지금 현재까지 이니셜 리포트 상으로는 저희들한테 특별히 마이크로그리드 그리드 옵션이 필요치 않은 걸로 이해하고 있습니다.
Yes. So GPA said that the microgrid option is not necessary for our project. However, we did not receive the final result of the SIS, so we need to discuss it with GPA. However, from the previous preliminary report of the SIS, we do not need microgrid option.
잠깐만, 그 GPA가 이미 그렇게 이야기를 한 게 아니고 지금 현재 그 마이크로그리드 옵션이 필요 없다라고 이야기를 한 바는 없고
네, 네.
지금 현재 이니셜 시스템 임팩트 스터디 상으로 봤을 때 네. 이니셜 스터디 상으로 봤을 네. 때 우리 이해가 아직까지는 게 필요 없을 거다
네.
이렇게 좀 전복을
네. So to be more clear, So GPA didn't say that we do not need microgrid. However, from the initial results of the SIS, we do not need microgrid option for this project currently.
We think that.
Okay, so I mean, another example. Let's say that Shanghai was the winning bidder. If the SIS showed that Shanghai required a microgrid option, GPA might also require that of Shanghai, correct?
만약에 SIS 결과를 통해서 이제 샹하이한테도 마이크로그리드 옵션을 설치하라고 했었으면 샹하이도 설치를 했었어야 되는 거죠?
Possibly, yes.
Yes, possibly yes.
And the microgrid option, therefore, was available to all of the bidders. It would just depend on the system impact study. Is that correct?
그러니까 마이크로그리드 옵션은 모든 그 비더들이 할 수 있는 그러니까 그 시스템 임팩트 스터디의 결과에 따라서 모든 비더들이 할 수 있는 옵션이라고 말씀하신 거죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
Mr. Choi, do you believe that the consortium's bid was the best and most competitive bid for the ratepayers of Guam?
그러니까 이제 저희 괌 주민들을 위해서 저희가 제출한 그 제안서가 가장 최선의 제안서라고 생각을 하십니까?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
Okay.
좀 정정을 하겠습니다. 정정을 하겠습니다. 그렇다기보다는 최선을 다했습니다.
I want to well, I said yes, but I just want to be more clear. We made utmost efforts.
Okay. I'm going to wrap it up. Can we take a quick break and I'll just look through my notes?
That's fine.
Okay.
How long
will
it take?
Just 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Thank you.
We're off the record at 10:31. The time is 10:44 a.m. We are back on the record for the formal hearing, continuation of OPAPA 17-008.
Just a few more questions, Mr. Choi. You've heard all of the positions of Shanghai concerning this particular appeal. What is the consortium's position with regard to the issues raised by Shanghai in this appeal?
이제 상하이 컨소시엄에서 항소하신 내용에 항소하게 된 이유라든가 어떤 입장에 대해서 다 아실 텐데 이러한 이 상하이 컨소시엄의 항소에 대해서 어떻게 생각하시는지요?
예, 어필 프로테스트와 여기 OPA에 대한 어필 내용과 그리고 어제 그제 이틀간의 청문 절차를 거치면서 이런 생각을 하게 됐습니다.
So after going through the positions and appeals that Shanghai Consortium has filed against the GPA and our consortiums, I have come to an idea.
구매법에서 그 괌 구매법에서 정해진 이러한 어필 절차 그리고 프로테스트 절차에 대해서는 뭐 작은 목소리에도 귀를 기울이는 그리고 그 어떤 입찰 절차의 투명성을 제고하는 측면에서 그러한 차원에서 매우 존중하고 존중하는 바입니다.
So considering the fact that this appeal system in Guam is let everyone's voice be heard and try to secure the transparency of this procurement procedure, so I really respect this point.
하지만 그 지금 상하이 쪽에서 제기한 그 여러 가지 문제, 뭐 더블링 더 사이즈, 그 다음에 언더그라운드냐, 가공이어야 되냐, 어보이드드 코스트하고 리약, 그리고 또 뭐가 있죠? 뭐 마이크로그리드 옵션. 이 네 가지 부분에 대해서는 네 가지 그 어필 내용에 대해서는 저는 이렇게 생각합니다.
Well, let me tell you my opinion on the issues raised by Shanghai's consortium, which include doubling the size of the procurement and underground and overhead transmission lines and avoided cost and LIAC and microgrid.
충분히 누구나 의문을 가지고 궁금해할 수 있는 사항인 건 맞는데 그것에 대한 명확한 해석은 비딩을 제출하기 전에 이루어졌어야 되는 것이고
And I totally agree that, I mean, we can be curious about the requirements or issues. However, the clarification process on that issues should have been made before the bid submission.
다른 모든 비더들이 많은 클래리피케이션 과정을 통해서 비드 제출 전에 그런 부분에 대해서 확실하게 하기 위한 노력을 충분히 다했고 우리도 그 한정과 LG 컨소시엄도 그런 이해 하에서 지금 비딩을 제출을 한 건데 이런 부분들이 이미 비딩이 끝난 뒤에 문제가 되는 것이 문제가 되고 이런 전체 입찰 절차가 딜레이 되는 것이 매우 안타깝다는 생각입니다.
And I think that all bidders made clarification requests at their best before the bid submission. However, I mean, these issues were raised after the bid submission, so and this caused a delay of our project, and I am very sorry for that.
Okay. Now, if this bid is canceled and it has to go out on rebid, is the consortium interested in rebidding on this project?
이 비드가 취소가 되고 다시 리비드하는 것이 저희 컨소시엄의 이익을 위해서 더 낫다고 생각하시는지요?
지금 현재는 이것이 리비드로 갈 거라고 믿지 않고 있고요, 개인적으로.
So personally, I do not want to believe that this is going to be rebid.
만약에 리비드로 가게 될 경우에는 제가 생각할 때는 두 가지 포인트에서 우리 컨소시엄이 이 리비드에 다시 참가하거나 하는 것이 어려울 것 같습니다.
So, but if this project is going to be rebid, I think that there might be two problems, two obstacles in front of us for us to participate in the rebid.
좋은 제도긴 하지만 이런 프로테스트나 어필이 그 일부 비더들한테 특히 루징 비더들이 굉장히 악용할 경우에는 입찰 절차 자체가 이런 식으로 굉장히 지연이 될 경우 가능성이 크고요. 다시.
So first of all, of course, I believe that this protest or appeal system is very good. However, if the losing bidders, take advantage of this system in a negative manner, it can cause a delay in the project.
그에 따라서 우리 경영진을 다시 이러한 어떤 언서튼티가 큰 입찰에 다시 우리가 참여하겠다고 허락을 받기가 매우 어려울 것 같고요.
So I think that because of the uncertainty of this project, it will be difficult for me to persuade our executive members to participate in the rebid.
두 번째는 지금 현재 이 프로젝트를 프로젝트 파이낸스 방식의 그 금융 조달을 기반으로 그런 것을 전제로 지금 이 프로젝트를 진행하고 있는데
And we are going to implement this project with the project financing.
이러한 어떤 입찰에 대한 입찰 과정에 대한 이 끝없는 지연 뭐 이런 것들은 굉장히 큰 언서튼티로 그 랜더들한테 인식이 될 것이고 국제 금융 시장에서 괌은 물론이거니와 우리 같이 입찰에 참여하는 비더들, 디벨로퍼들의 어떤 레퓨테이션에도 큰 손상이 있을 것입니다.
And I think that in terms of the project financing, if this prolonged delay is going to happen in the rebid again, it is going to damage not only the project owners, which is GPA's reputation, but also the developers' reputation participating in this project.
And essentially, any further delay in this project would result in possible inability to get project financing as well as delay in construction costs.
그래서 이렇게 지연이 계속되게 되다 보면은 이제 사업 파이낸싱이라든가 사업 파이낸싱이 어렵게 될 것이고 또 건설비가 더 증가한다는 걸 의미하시는 거죠?
당연히 이런 비딩 프로세스를 통한 어떤 발전소 건설 사업은 시간이 돈입니다.
So of course, that this development project through the bidding process. In this bidding process, the time is money.
그리고 reputation이 곧 돈입니다.
And reputation is also money.
신용도에 따른 많은 조달 비용의 차이가 있기 때문이죠.
Because the credit rating can determine the financing ability.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions.
Thank you. In terms of order. Mr. Camacho, I think we'll go. Are you okay if we go with Mr. Botha and Mr. Man Berman than you? Or how do you want to proceed?
Or,
you tell me how you want to proceed. Because I'm just...
I'm going to defer to you, the hearing officer.
Okay. So I think...
we have one witness, so you can finish them and then we'll be last. That's fine.
So Mr. Botha, why don't you go with your questions then? We'll go with
okay.
Mr. We'll go with SEPJ and then we'll go to you and then redirect it to you, Ms. Ariel.
Okay, Mr. Choi, you're putting your bid together. You followed all of the clarifications and questions submitted not only by you, but all of the bidders, including Shanghai, to develop your bid.
그러니까 이 비빌 클래리피케이션 과정에서 단지 저희 한전 컨소시엄뿐만 아니라 샹하이 컨소시엄을 포함한 모든 비더들이 그 요청한 클래리피케이션에 따르신 거죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
And if the current LEAC price is approximately 11.7 cents per kilowatt hour, is your bid at 8.55 cents for both sites, in your opinion, substantially below the current LEAC cost?
지금 현재 current LEAC cost가 $11.55인데 저희가 제출한 가격은 $85.5인데 생각하시기에 현재 LEAC보다는 훨씬 낮다고 생각하시는 거죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Mr. Both, I made an error. So I think we need to go with Mr. Mann and Mr. Berman. And then,
oh.
we'll go, then we'll go with Mr. Camacho, then you, and then back to Ms.
Ariella.
Sorry,
it's appellant, a purchasing agency, then third party.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
We'll go.
Okay, then you, then Camacho.
That's fine, Mr. Officer.
Sorry.
Just reserve those until after Mr. Mann is done. Maybe after lunch.
Did KEPCO, in its technical proposal, provide for underground lines, transmission lines, overhead transmission lines, both underground and underground, or not specify at all what was being provided?
캡코 기술 제안서에서는 이제 언더그라운드 둘 다, 오버헤드 두 개 다를 제출한다고 하셨는지, 아니면 여기에 대해서 뭐 어떤 특정한 언급은 없으셨는지?
기술 제안서에 따르면 두 가지가 혼재가 되어 있었습니다.
So, according to our technical proposal, we presented combination of underground and overhead transmission lines.
If I could, I'd like to have a new exhibit here. It's going to be exhibit 35. To distribute those to council. My first question is whether Mr. Choi is familiar with this letter.
네, 이 제가 이제 처음에 질문한 거는 이것과 이제 동일한 이 레터와 동일한 내용을 가지고 있습니까? 이 레터가 바로 그 내용입니까?
제가 직접 이 레터를 수용자는 아닙니다만은 이 레터는 저희들이 보관하고 있습니다.
I didn't. Directly receive this letter. However, we have this letter.
Okay. Do you understand? If you look at the first paragraph, last sentence, we would like to confirm that your firm has included the following costs in your price proposal. And it refers to underground lines on three occasions. And so If you had proposed both underground and above ground lines in your technical proposal, do you happen to know why GPA is asking you to confirm that you are proposing underground lines?
I 언더그라운드 라인으로 할지 그 가공 라인 그러니까 오버헤드 라인으로 할지는 최종적으로 결정되는 단계는 시스템 임팩트 스터디 후에 실제로 개통 영향 평가 결과를 놓고 GPA와 위닝 비더가 협의하는 사항입니다.
So in terms of deciding underground transmission lines or overhead transmission lines, I mean, that should be decided after the SIS. So after the SIS, the winning bidder and GPA can negotiate on this transmission lines.
그 단계까지 가기 전에 모든 질의 답변 자료는 양쪽의 입장을 서로 양쪽의 입장을 서로 사전에 교환하는 일종의 의사전달 행위일 뿐입니다.
So before the system impact study, all of the questions are just for checking or confirming or exchanging information with each other in advance.
아, 특히 지금 요 레터의 날짜는 1월 27일자로 돼 있는데 이것은 intent to award, 즉 개통 영향 평가를 하자라는 결정하기 전에 지금 어떤 우리의 포지션을 확인하기 위한 GPA의 레터라고 이해했습니다.
So as you can see here, this letter was sent to us on 27th January 2017, which was before the notice of the intent to award. So GPA just wanted to check our position.
Did you understand that the system impact study or SIS would even address whether the lines were required to transmission lines were required to be overhead or underhead, underground?
SIS study 후에 뭐 그러니까 그 저기 오버 그러니까 가공으로 갈지 지중으로 갈지에 대해서 이런 문제를 뭐 해결하려고 할 그러니까 그것에 대해서 어떤 변경이 있을 것이란 걸 알시고 계셨습니까?
아 오해가 좀 있는데요. 그 오해가 좀 있는데 미스언더스탠딩인데 그 가공이냐 지중이냐는 SIS 수행 리포트에는 언급되지 않습니다.
So I think you have a little bit misunderstanding on this. So in this SIS report, whether you go overhead or underground is not mentioned.
다만 어느 변전소에 정확하게 접속을 하는 것이 그 현재 사이트가 가장 그 사이트에서 어느 변전소로 어느 경로를 통해서 접속을 하는 것이 가장 시스템에 임팩을 덜 줄 것인지를 분석하는 것이 SIS고요.
So let me give you a brief explanation on SIS. So the SIS actually tells you how to interconnect which substation and which is the best way for our project to interconnect the existing system, not to have negative impact on the existing system.
그리고 그런 경우에 얼마나 많은 설비 보강이 필요한지 경우에 따라서는 마이크로그리드 옵션이 필요한지 안 한지 이런 거에 대한 분석을 주는 것이 SIS고요.
So SIS tells us that whether it is necessary to supplement equipment or not, or whether the microgrid option is necessary or not.
그리고 저 GPA가 그 SIS 결과를 바탕으로 어느 변전소에 어떤 경로를 통해서 접속하자 한다는 것을 결정하고 우리한테 통보를 하면서 그때 그 어떤 특정 구간을 지중으로 할지 가공으로 할지를 결정하는 것입니다.
And based on the result of the SIS, GPA decides which substation has to be interconnected and which route they have to follow, and then they give us their opinions, and then we can actually decide whether we are going to under or over.
That's good. Okay. Jennifer Sablon, as I recall, testified yesterday the SIS study is not going to require either above ground or underground transmission lines. It will only be concerned with the connection, not where the connection is. Is that your understanding?
그러니까 어제 제니퍼 씨가 말씀한 것에 따르면 SIS SIS는 절대 오버헤드로 가라던가 언더그라운드라고 가라던가 그런 거를 어떻게 어떤 결정해 주는 게 아니라 그냥 어떻게 그러니까 인터커넥션 하는 것이 좋은지를 말해 준다는 건데 그걸 바로 그렇게 이해를 하셨습니까?
제가 지금 방금 말씀드린 부분이 바로 그 말입니다.
So that's what I just said.
Okay. So again, do you recall in your technical proposal whether you provided for underground line, overhead line, both, or didn't specify?
그러니까 기술 제안서에서 언더그라운드로 갈 것인지 오버헤드로 갈 것인지 아니면 그냥 그렇게 명시하지 않았는지 기억하십니까?
같은 질문 같은데요. 처음에 물어보셨던 것과 두 개가 컴비네이션 돼 있습니다.
So
꼭 그 같은 질문이었다는 말도 꼭 같이 통역을 하세요.
I think you asked the same question before. We presented a combination of underground and overhead transmission lines in our technical proposal.
Now, if you will turn to in the Shanghai Electric exhibit book and turn to exhibit 17. Exhibit 17. On the second page, there is a highlighted portion, but looking at the first page, do you understand this is GPA's answer to certain questions that have been asked by KEPCO?
Yes.
And if you look at the second page in question number 4, I'll paraphrase the question as your question of whether KEPCO may use overhead lines for the right routes estimated for site A and B. Do you see that?
여기에서 그 오버헤드를 사용할 것이라고 얘기했는데 지금 보이십니까?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
Okay. And this letter is dated February 3, 2017. Is that correct?
2월 17일 날 그
2월 3일.
아, 2월 3일에 발송됐는데 맞습니다. Yes.
And the response of GPA is GPA recommends underground installation for new transmission lines. Decreased reliability is associated with overhead lines due to exposure to natural elements such as high winds, rain, snakes, and other risks. Now, I'll ask you to go to Exhibit 18 and tell me you recognize that exhibit.
Yes.
If you look at the second page in the highlighted portion, I will read this in English, paragraph 5. We assume that to the extent feasible, overhead lines can be used for the transmission lines, similar to what we noted above in paragraph 2 regarding the requirement for two sets of transmission lines. We had no rational basis to assume that new transmission lines should be installed underground only. Then you continue on that having said that, you're generally willing to adhere to the guidance that GPA provides regarding overhead or underhead lines. So at the present time, is the proposal of KEPCO to provide overhead lines, underground lines, or a combination?
지금 현재는 오버헤드를 제안하는지, 언더그라운드 제안인지, 아니면 서커스 제안인지?
지금 현재 저희들이 갖고 있는 현재 입장은 오버헤드와 언더그라운드가 혼재되어 있는 건데 아직 아까 말씀드린 대로 GPI와의 최종 협상이 끝난 상황이 아닙니다.
So at the present time, as I told you, we presented a combination of the overhead and underground transmission lines. However, as I told you before, we did not finish our negotiation with GPA.
최종적인 의사결정은 GPA와의 합의가 있어야지 가능할 것으로 저희는 생각을 하고 있고.
I think that the final decision making can be possible after the negotiation with the GPA.
그것은 SIS 최종 리포트 결과를 충분히 반영한 뒤에 이루어질 것입니다.
And this is going to be implemented after reflecting the results of the final report of the SIS.
Going back to Exhibit 18 and the language that KEPCO had no rational basis to assume new transmission lines should be installed underground only, I'm going to ask you to turn to Exhibit 14. No, I'm sorry. Exhibit 16. I note that's a GPA amendment to dated July 15, 2016.
Yeah.
We go over two pages to the highlighted matter. It's question 13. And I'll just quote it. This is a bidder's question. Can interconnection lines go overhead or do they have to be underground? And then I'm going to read a portion of GPA's response. GPA strongly recommends underground lines for interconnection between the renewable generation and GPA power system for their substantially greater reliability, especially during destructive storms and typhoons Guam often experiences due to overhead lines. But then it goes on and says it will be decided on a case-by-case basis. Now, you are familiar with Guam's exposures to typhoons, isn't that true?
그 괌이 아주 typhoon 많은 것을 알고 계시죠?
알고 있습니다.
Yes, I do.
And did you read this to mean that you were free to ignore GPA's strong recommendation? That was not a requirement. Is that how you read that?
그러니까 GPA가 strongly recommended 한 거를 꼭 따를 필요는 없다라고 생각을 하셨죠? 그게
당연히 그렇고요. Strongly recommend 하는 이유에 대해서는 저희들이 확실하게 인지를 하고 있습니다.
So, well, I'm not required. However, I know why GPA strongly recommended underground transmission lines.
But if you were to provide entirely for underground transmission lines, that would increase the amount of your bids, would it not?
그러니까 인더그라운드 트랜스미션 라인즈를 모두 다 깔게 된다면 저희 비드 비용이 올라갈 것이라는 것은 확실한 거죠.
언더그라운드로 모든 설비를 하게 되면 다소의 비용 증가, 그거는 케이스 바이 케이스로 좀 다를 수가 있는데 대부분의 경우에 비용 증가가 있기는 합니다. 그런데 왜 그런 짓을 해야 되는지 이해할 수 없습니다.
So if we go underground transmission lines all in our project, well, I mean it's different from case by case, but generally it results in the increase in the cost. But I don't know. I do not see a point in why do we have to do this?
Well, you agree that underground transmission lines are more reliable in a place that is subject to typhoons.
Yes.
You agree with that, don't you?
많은 이제 괌 같은 경우에는 언더그라운드 트랜스미션 라인스가 좀 더 릴라이어블하다고 생각을 하시는지요?
말씀드렸던 대로 한전은 국내에서 약 47만 킬로 서킷 킬로미터의 송전선로, 송배전선로를 운영하고 있습니다.
So as I told you, the KEPCO is operating about 470,000 circuit transmission lines in Korea.
하지만 한국 물론 그렇고 그다음에 한국도 1년에 약 30개 이상의 태풍을 맞고 있습니다.
And Korea is also exposed to more than 30 typhoons a year.
그런 상황에서 한국도 지중화율 그러니까 언더그라운드의 비율이 한 자릿수입니다. 원디짓.
But even though we are exposed to a great number of typhoons, the underground transmission line rate is just one digit.
조금 릴라이어블한 건 맞습니다. 지중선로가 가공선로보다 조금 릴라이어블한 건 맞지만 많은 코스트가 들어갑니다. 그것은 너무 말을 이제 격한 표현을 쓰면 안 되겠지만 그것은 선택의 문제고 특히 가공선로라고 해도 지금 여기 괌에서의 가공 시설물의 풍속 기준은 초당 78m까지 견디게 지금 설계를 하고 있다고 알고 있는데 여 밖에 보시면은 여기가 그렇게 태풍이 많아도 경우에 따라서는 언더그라운드와 오버헤드가 지금 현재 혼재돼 있습니다. 왜 괌에서 그럼 100%로 지중화하지 않았겠습니까?
So I mean the underground transmission lines can be considered more reliable than overhead transmission lines. However, this is just a matter of choice. And as far as I know, the transmission lines consider the wind velocity, which is 75 meters per second. And as you can see here, the
78 meters
per second. But as you can see here, the transmission lines are transmission lines in Guam consist of overhead and underground. And if what you said is right, why do they just go all underground?
결론적으로 비용과 릴라이어블의 어떤 상관관계를 잘 고려해서 적정한 점을 찾아야 되는 거고 그것이 결국 괌 주민들한테 가장 큰 이익이 될 것입니다.
So what I want to tell you is that we need to strike a balance between the cost and the reliability, and we need to find the best option for the benefit of the people of Guam.
Okay, so then going back to Exhibit 35, the letter of January 27, 2017, when GPA...
excuse me.
Exhibit 35 is a loose document.
When GPA asked KEPCO to confirm that KEPCO has included the following costs in the final proposal, and they refer only to underground lines, then GPA had apparently misread KEPCO's technical proposal, which had proposed both underground and overhead lines. Is that correct?
저희가 이제 언더그라운드랑 오버헤드로 가자고 했는데 여기에는 GPA가 언더그라운드라고 멘션했는데 이게 그러면 GPA가 저희의 제안서를 잘못 읽었다는 것입니까?
다시.
그 저희가 이제 지중과 가공 다 섞어서 제출했다고 했잖아요. 근데 여기 보면은 그 언더그라운드 라인 from 이렇게 되어 있는데 언더그라운드라고 되어 있는데 그러면 GPA가 저희가 제출한 제안서를 잘못 읽었다는 뜻입니까? 여기 언더그라운드라고 되어 있잖아요.
이것은 지금 그 레터를 좀 해석을 잘못하신 것 같은데 이것은 에스티메이트 가격이 이렇게 될 경우에는 얼마쯤 된다 저렇게 될 경우에는 얼마쯤 된다라는 GPA의 답이지 GPA가 가공으로 해라 지중으로 해라라고 지시를 한 게 아닙니다.
So I think that you misunderstood this letter. This just is the cost estimate from GPA for the underground lines. So this is not just GPA's requirement for us to go underground.
Yes, I understand that, but the confusion is this. This is a letter from GPA right before GPA selected the lowest proposals. And if you look at the last sentence in the first paragraph, it just says, we would like to confirm that your firm has included the following costs in your price proposal. In other words, they just want to make sure that GPA and the bidder are on the same page about what is being proposed. Do you translate that much?
Yes. 그러니까 이건 지금 저희가 수주 그 letter of notice를 받기 전이잖아요. 그러니까 근데 이제 여기서 보면은 GPA가 이러한 가격들을 너네 cost proposal에 삽입을 해라라고 그러니까 we would like to 이렇게 되어 있는데 그러면 이거는 GPA가 이거를 consider 우리 보고 고려해라라고 말하는 게 아닌지.
아, 이거 지금 계속 이해를 잘 못 하고 계신데 가공으로 할 경우에는 이 금액을 가정하라. 지중으로 할 때는 저 금액을 고려하라. 이러한 GPA의 설명이고요. 그다음에 2단계에서 비더가 GPA가 설령 그냥 가정을 하죠. GPA가 설령 가공으로 해라, 지중으로 해라라는 오더를 준다 하더라도 그 모든 것은 SIS 결과 후에 비더와 GPA가 협의해서 비더도 이 입찰을 언제든지 드랍하고 나갈 수 있는 권리가 있기 때문에 그 협의 후에 결정될 사항이지 이때 GPA의 이러한 그 지시로 우리가 해야 되는 의무가 발생하는 건 아닙니다.
So let me tell you that.
천천히.
Let me tell you that I think you a little bit misunderstood this one because this is just explanation from GPA on the cost possible cost estimates on the underground transmission lines and overhead transmission lines. So they just ask us to consider this cost estimate for both of the transmission lines. So let's assume that GPA requests every bidder to go under line. However, more important thing is that we need to consider the results of the system impact study. After the system impact study, the GPA and winning bidder is going to negotiate on this issue, and then we are going to decide the final. We are going to decide, make a final decision on the type of the transmission lines.
Mr. Mann, with respect to your line of questioning as to what KEPCO submitted in its technical proposal regarding underground or above ground, I think that's been established by the testimony, as well as whether or not the GPA IFB required or didn't require a proposal to include above ground, underground, or exclusively one or the other. So it seems like your points have been made on that issue, but if you're going to a different issue, I don't mean to interrupt you.
Actually, my question is much simpler than this. GPA is asking to confirm their underground, but the witness has said, which I heard today, that they had proposed both underground and overhead. I think this is confusing. I am assuming GPA made a mistake, but I'm going to go on to another. Well, somebody made a mistake.
And
I'm going to go on to another subject.
I think the point of your argument is, I think you've made it, and you can continue to argue it in your findings
effect. I think it's important. I just want to confirm, though, that KEPCO is now reserving the right at the completion of the SIS study and negotiations to take the underground line as now proposed to go overhead. Is that correct?
그러니까 SIS의 리조트 그 결과에 따라서 오버헤드로 갈 것인지 언더그라운드로 갈 것인지 결정하는 것은 이제 한전의 결정이라는 것이죠.
당연히 그런 것이 이유가 있습니다. 그게 그 우리가 예를 들어서 우리가 파갓 변전소 또는 뭐 말고 변전소 어떤 특정 변전소에 접속을 할 걸로 예상을 하고 우리는 프로포저를 만들었고 테크니컬 프로포저를 만들었고 그거에 들어가는 총 소요 비용을 가정해서 비드 프라이스 플러스 비드를 냈어요. 그런데 GPA가 거기까지 우선 하고
So, yes, I mean, there is a reason. Let's say that we made a proposal to interconnect with the Pagak or Marbok substations, and then we present our price bid.
그렇지만 SIS 결과를 실제로 보니까 우리 기대와 달리 그 변전소에 못 물리고 좀 심하게 비유하면 여기서 20km, 30km 떨어진 변전소로 우리 보고 접속을 하라 그러면 그 비용을 감당할 수 없습니다.
So let's say that our technical proposal was wrong according to the result of the SIS. So SIS suggests us to interconnect with substations which are farther
maybe 20 kilometers or 30 kilometers away from the power generation facility, in that case, we cannot tolerate the cost.
그것이 바로 입찰자도 역시 이 프로젝트를 SIS 결과 후에 개통 접속 방식에 대한 합의 결과에 따라서 이 프로젝트를 더 하거나 중단하거나 할 수 있는 권리를 리저브하고 있는 이유고요.
So that's why every bidder has the right to walk away or remain for this bid.
그리고 그런 가능성, 그런 그 나갈 수 워크어웨이 할 수 있는 가능성을 낮추기 위해서 기술 입찰서라든지 가격 입찰서를 제출할 때 신중하게 스터디했던 것입니다.
So because of the possibility for the bidder to walk away from the project, we actually thoroughly studied our IFB to present our technical and price proposals.
Okay, one more area of questioning here. You talked about the experience of LG CNS in energy projects. They also had, LG CNS has received the project on Guam for energy storage. Isn't that true?
그 LG CNS의 사업 경험에 대해서 말씀하셨는데 LG CNS가 괌에 ESS 사업 수주했다는 게 맞습니까?
예, 맞습니다. 1차 ESS 사업 수주했습니다.
Yes, they received a project which is phase 1 renewable project.
ESS project.
Phase 1 ESS project.
And did KEPCO participate in that project at all?
이때 KEPCO도
그 프로젝트에 캡코가 테크니컬 컨설턴트로 참여했습니다.
So KEPCO participated in this project as a technical consultant.
For LG CNS.
Yeah.
And so this is an energy storage facility project. Is that true?
ESS 사업 맞죠?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
And it's for what, $43 million?
4,300만 달러의 사업 맞습니까?
제가 알고 있는 바로는 40로 알고 있습니다.
As far as I know, it's
40 million.
It's $40 million project.
I'm sorry, 14?
40 million?
Oh, 40.
Yeah, 40 million.
If I could, I have one last exhibit here. I'm just looking at the first three bullet points, and I don't really care about the amount. That's not my question.
Okay.
Do you know that did LG CNS bid on this as part of a procurement?
LG CNS가 이 사업을 위해서 비드를 제출한 거 아시죠?
죄송하지만 제가 그 과정에 대해서는 들은 게 다고 제가 직접 참여하지 않았기 때문에 제가 혹시 질문이 뭔지 물어보시면 제가 답변할 수 있는 건지 없는 건지 알려드리겠습니다.
Well, I was not directly involved in this project, so I don't know what to answer. But you can ask me questions, and then I will decide whether I can answer the question or not.
Thank you. Well, to your knowledge, was this proposed as an IFB by GPA for this energy storage facility project.
경우에 GPA가 그 발표한 IFB에 따라서 이제 수주된 사업이 맞습니까?
제가 충분히 답변을 못 드릴 것 같습니다. 그 부분에 대해서는.
So I'm not directly involved in this project, so I don't think I can answer it.
Do you understand the project to involve energy storage similar to what would be obtained in the microgrid that was awarded to Hanwha?
생각하시기에 이 ESS 사업이 하나에게 하나가 얻게 된 그 마이크로그리드 사업과 비슷하다고 생각하지 않으십니까?
조금 다른 측면이 있습니다. 이 프로젝트의 이 프로젝트는 지금 괌 전력 개통 그 주파수 안정 frequency control regulation 그거가 주 용도로 알고 있고요. 그것은 전체 계통의 안정을 도모하는 것이고요.
Well, I think this project has a little bit different aspect because this this project is for the ESS, is for mainly ESS for the frequency regulation. This is for securing the stability of the power grid.
The concept, though, is what I'm talking about, that this LGCNS energy storage facility project is the same concept of not involved in the microgrid in that it relates to energy storage. Is that correct?
그러니까 LGCNS의 그 ESS 사업이 그 ESS 사업 ESS 내 ES 사업과 관련된 마이크로그리드와 좀 비슷한 컨셉이라고 생각하지 않으십니까?
같은 배터리라도 용도가 다르다고 분명히 말씀을 드렸습니다. 방금 조금 전에.
So I just told you that of course the battery is used for the I mean ESS and microgrid. However, the uses of the battery is different.
The purpose of using is a little bit different.
네.
Could be and then is different.
The purpose of the the purpose of using the battery for ESS and microgrid is different.
그래서 결론적으로는 이건 같은 사업이라고 할 수는 없다는 게 제 생각입니다.
So I think I can come to a conclusion that I mean this is not same.
Well, okay. The purpose of the microgrid that we've talked about in this procurement is to provide additional energy storage, basically. Isn't that true?
이 마이크로그리드의 목적은 그러니까 추가적인 에너지 스토리지를 공급하는 것이죠?
추가적인 에너지 스토리지를 공급하는 것은 이번 그 GPA가 IFB를 통해서 마이크로그리드 옵션의 기능으로 명시한 여러 가지 중에 하나일 뿐입니다.
So the additional energy storage is just one of the options that GPA mentioned in IFB for the microgrid option.
주로 GPA가 IFB를 통해서 요구했던 이번 마이크로그리드의 컨셉은 램프 컨트롤하고 그다음에 제너레이션 스케줄링 그리고 약간의 디맨드 리스폰스. 여기서 말하는 디맨드 리스폰스가 약간의 그 에너지 시프팅을 요구하는 것으로 이해하고 있습니다.
So, the functions that GPA wanted for its microgrid include ramp control and generation scheduling and demand response, which is energy shifting.
Yes, and the microgrid that GPA would procure in this procurement from Hanwha would accomplish that by increasing the battery and energy storage, would it not?
그 이번 이제 GPA가 이제 한화에게 주, 그러니까 준 마이크로그리드 옵션 같은 경우에는 배터리나 에너지 스토리지를 높이기 위해서 아닙니까?
그거는 잘 모르겠습니다.
I don't know about that.
Well, what?
그것은 제가 모르는 이유는 그 해당 사이트의 컨디션이 어떤지를 모르기 때문에 제가 지금 짐작도 할 수 없는 것입니다.
The reason why I said I don't know about that is that I do not know the conditions of the project site of Hanwha. That's why I am saying like this.
Well, to your understanding what, and I hate to belabor this, but to your understanding what exactly is GPA getting from Hanwha if Hanwha is awarded a microgrid and Hanwha has paid $54 million over 25 years. What does GPA get?
만약에 한화가 이 마이크로그리드 수주를 하고 이 5,400만 달러 사업을 수주를 하게 된다면 그럼 GPA는 한화로부터 무엇을 얻는 것입니까?
한화가 지금 선정한 그러니까 이 지금 괌 전체 전력망 중 전력망 어느 곳이든 그 취약성 그러니까 이 개통 접속의 용이성은 다른 것입니다. 그 사이트별로 괌 내에서도 그런데 괌 전력청에서 어떤 특정 사이트에 어떤 발전소가 들어올 경우에 또는 그 해당 전체 전력망을 보강하는 데는 어차피 막대한 돈이 들어갑니다. 막대한 코스트가 들어가는데 지금 한화가 거기 그 해당 사이트에 그 발전소를 지어서 특별히 송전 계통을 크게 보강하지 않더라도 하나의 마이크로그리드 옵션을 통해서 그 해당 사이트에서 지금 송전 접속을 할 수 있다면 GPA 입장에서는 코스트를 세이빙하는 것입니다.
Well, I think that the WAMS, the power system, has different vulnerabilities according to the site. So that some generation facilities need to be supplemented, and it is going to require a huge amount of money. So in the power generation facilities of Hanwha, if it is decided that the power system has to be supplemented, in that case, the microgrid option can be applied here. In that way, GPA can save their cost.
아, 물론 제 개인적인 의견입니다.
So this is my personal opinion.
No further questions.
Thank you.
Could I have, just for clarity, yesterday Ms. Sablon said that based on the preliminary study that KEPCO did, GPA would not require the microgrid. Is that correct to the best of your understanding?
그러니까 GPA가 이제 preliminary study를 통해서 캡코는 마이크로그리드가 필요 없다라고 이제 결론을 내렸다는데 그게 맞습니까?
아직까지는 그런 걸로 저희가 알고 있습니다.
So far, that's true to my understanding.
Thank you.
Mr. Bota?
Mr. Choi, you indicated that as part of its bid, that KEPCO provided for battery storage. What is the purpose of that battery storage in your project?
그 이 사업을 위해서 KEPCO도 이제 배터리 스토리지를 이제 제출한 걸로 알고 있는데 이거의 이 배터리 스토리지의 목적은 무엇입니까?
이 프로젝트는 단순 PV 프로젝트가 아니었고요. 처음부터 램핑 컨트롤을 리퀘어먼트로 그러니까 요구 조건으로 하는 프로젝트였습니다. 그래서 우리 배터리는 기본적으로 램핑 컨트롤 목적으로 들어가 있습니다.
So this was initially this proposal was not just for PV generation facilities. It was it was for the project with the requirement of the ramping control. So we reflected this factor in our battery.
아시다시피 그것은 마이크로그리드 옵션과는 별개입니다.
As you know, this is different from the microgrid option.
And the batteries that you've provided, the megawatt hours and the capacity of that, in your opinion, is sufficient for the KEPCO project?
그렇습니다. 실패율이 최소화되는 수준으로 아마 그 말은 통역하지 마시고 뭐 그렇습니다.
Yes.
And does Exhibit 18, which is the KEPCO response letter, dated February 6, 2017, set forth KEPCO's position on overhead versus underground?
From
Shanghai Exhibit 18, and that is the KEPCO letter to GPA dated February 6, 2017. Does that set forth KEPCO's understanding as to the requirement for underground and overhead lines?
이게 바로 저희가 이제 언더그라운드로 갈 건지 이제 아니면 지주 아 그거 가공으로 갈 건지에 대한 캡코의 이해를 말하는 게 맞습니까?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
And is it your understanding that upon completion of the project and turnover of the project that GPA would be responsible for all lines both underground and overhead after the turnover?
이것은 바로 사업이 완료되면 GPA가 이 모든 송전 라인을 책임지게 된다는 것을 의미하는 것입니까?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
And your project, as set forth in your technical proposal, includes underground and overhead.
그리고 이제 제출하신 기술 제안서에 그 언더그라운드 오버헤드 모두 다 포함하고 있는 것이 있습니까?
그렇습니다.
Yes.
To the pocket substation was your initial proposal.
그러니까 이제 처음에 제출하신 그 변전소를 향한 그 거기에서 이제 언더그라운드 오버헤드 그게 다 이제 성전선 하신 것 같습니다.
정확히 말하면 파갓변전소와 하나는 말고에서 앤더슨 공군기지로 가는 송전선로로 접속하는 방식으로 우리가 기술 입찰서를 냈습니다.
Yeah, to be more clear, we proposed our technical proposal. We presented our technical proposals for the Paga substation and Malbo substation, which leads to Anderson Airport site.
And is KEPCO ready to proceed now with the project, with the financing, construction, project site, and everything else required in the IFB?
지금 현재 저희 이 사업에서 파이낸싱, 그러니까 이 사업을 위해서 파이낸싱하고 더욱더 이제 진행할 의도가, 그러니까 의사가 있으신지.
그렇습니다. 모든 게 오래 전부터 준비가 돼 있습니다.
Yes, we are fully prepared.
I don't have any additional questions.
Thank you, Mr. Camacho.
I have no questions for this witness.
Any redirect?
Any redirect?
I have. Mr. Choi, were you surprised when GPA went from 60 megawatts to 120 megawatts in the award? Were you surprised to learn that GPA did that?
아까 처음에 말씀드린 대로 놀라지 않았습니다.
No, I was not surprised, as I said before.
If it were 120 megawatts, would you have bid it on 120 megawatts?
만약에 120 메가와트가 총 그 캐파시티였다면은 다 전부 다 120 메가와트에 대한 제한 자체를 하셨을 것인지.
당연히 그랬겠지만 이번 비드에서는 명확하게 최대 60 메가와트까지만 내라고 되어 있었습니다.
Of course, I would. But however, in this IFB, the total capacity for each bidder was 60 megawatts. That's it.
Thank you.
I have one question in light of that question. It may, I mean, I have a direct contradiction to that statement in Exhibit 14.
So go ahead and ask your question, Mr. Anderson.
You look at the underlying portion of Exhibit 14. Well, first, Exhibit 14 is a letter from KEPCO. Regarding the protest that had been filed by Shanghai Electric. Do you recognize that letter?
맞습니다.
Yes.
And it, the underlying portion says, prior to submitting our binding bid, the consortium had no knowledge of GPA's willingness to increase the total procurement amount by awarding contracts to multiple bidders. You see that language?
네, 보고 있습니다.
Yes, I can see.
Was that KEPCO's understanding at the time?
이때 이제 KEPCO가 이해한 게 맞습니까? 몰랐다는 게?
아, 이 전체 문장에서 요 해당 전체 레터에서 요 해당 문장만 해석하면 딱 그 알 수 없었다가 봤습니다.
Well, I mean, we didn't actually take a look at all of the sentences in this letter, but however, if you look at just this sentence, yes.
No further questions.
Okay, I know that Mr. Botha, you want to call Mr. Wu. Mr. Wu becomes unavailable at 3. How long do you think your examination of Mr. Wu will take?
Won't take very long, but I think we could finish the KEPCO bidders at least before that.
Well, what do you...
I'm happy to let Mr. Wu go now since he has a plane to catch, but we can take my next witness, who will not be very long at all, after Mr. Wu.
Okay, so what do you want to do?
How long will Mr. Wu take, Mr.
No idea how long he could be cross-examined for.
How long for you, though?
Not very long at all.
I mean, is your questioning focused on whether he made a call?
Oh, yeah.
And other issues?
Yep.
Well, I'm just trying to gauge because we've got 15 minutes before lunch, so are you going to be done with him then, or
well,
should
I think I could address that. It shouldn't take very long if he answers the question.
Is Mr. Choi finished?
Mr. Choi, Thank you. You can.
감사합니다.
감사합니다. Thank you.
Well, if we go with Ms. Ariola's next witness, and well, I think so too. I just was going to make the point: if we don't get through him, and then go to Mr. Wu when he has to leave, then I don't want you to be precluded from your ability to question him. So let's go with Mr. Wu now.
That would be fine.
Mr. Wu, you're still sworn.
Yes, I understand. Thank you.
And Mr. Botha, please ask your questions in light of the prior ruling regarding the objection.
Sir. Mr. Wu, did you make a phone call on or about July 27, 2017, to Mr. Dajin Jeong, the Hanwha representative?
Yes, for purposes of settlement discussions.
So, did you advise Mr. Wu? I'm sorry. Did you advise Mr. Jeong who you were in your position?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Did you advise him that you were representing Shanghai Electric?
Yes, I did.
Did you also advise him that you would be contacting KEPCO as well?
Yes, I did.
And you provided Mr. Jeong a method to contact you should he want to further the discussions?
We had exchanged business cards prior and were on a friendly basis.
And you had met him several times at different GPA, as part of the GPA IFB process?
Yes, he first approached me after the technical submission and exchange cards with me.
I don't have anything further.
Thank you. Ms. Ariola?
Did you contact Peter Kim of KEPCO and the LGCNS consortium as well on or about this date?
Yes, I did.
You contacted him by telephone?
Yes, I did.
And in that telephone conversation, Mr. Kim was uncomfortable in the conversation and informed you that he would refer the matter to his attorney?
And I encouraged him to.
Is that yes?
Yes.
You also contacted a Mr. Han from the KEPCO LGCNS Consortium?
Yes, Mr. Bada Han.
Okay, and with Mr. Han, he also felt uncomfortable with the conversation and stated that he did not want to discuss the matter further with you?
Yes, and I encourage him to speak with management and counsel.
What were you trying to settle in this case?
That's the substance of the settlement negotiations, which is the objectionable under Rule 408, which should be applied here.
Well, but I think I'm entitled to explore whether or not this actually truly was settlement discussions. I'm not going to take it on face value from this witness.
Well, let me ask the question. Was it a settlement? I'll sustain the objection.
Okay, let me ask a few more questions. With regard to your conversation with the Hanwha representative, did you believe that it was going to accomplish any kind of a resolution of this appeal?
I spoke more.
Wait. No, that's objectionable too.
I think that's sustained also.
Okay, I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Camacho?
Good morning, Mr. Wu.
Morning.
On what authority did you think you had to attempt to settle a claim with the successful bidders?
The pricing exercise was over. We had moved to a point where we believed there were issues with the result and the preceding IFB, and at that time, we had made certain preparations. We had gone forward with a lot of exercises to move forward with the project. So we had many resources on hand. So my...
Well, I don't want... The question doesn't call for any substance of what was negotiated or discussed. So, if that's the question...
Well, I asked the witness be allowed to answer the question. I don't think he had approached the settlement issues. He just responded to counsel's question.
So you can state an objection, Mr. Mann?
Yes, I would object to... See, this is... We have settlement negotiations, but we cannot talk about what the settlement negotiations were, I would submit, under Rule 408. So I want to make sure that the witness does not start going into the substance of settlement negotiations. Then he has a right not to discuss that.
Let me handle it this way. So I've already ruled on the objection regarding your testimony regarding
yes.
settlement discussions. So you're not required to answer questions regarding settlement discussions. Also, when you're asked a question, you're supposed to respond to it and not narrate. Did he answer your question, or do you need further clarification?
I don't believe he's answered the question.
Okay. Do you
okay.
need to restate the question?
Yes, please.
Okay, so on what authority did you believe you had to approach the successful bidders to discuss any settlement?
The authority as a principal in the project.
Principal of what?
I am a development partner in the project.
Okay, so you, your response is then, you thought it would be your responsibility as a principal, as an unsuccessful bidder, to negotiate settlement with successful bidders?
At that particular time, there was no harm being done.
Okay. So why didn't you approach GPA?
On the advice of counsel at the time, GPA was not the appropriate party because we had filed the protest.
But didn't... Okay. I have no further questions.
I have one. We're done.
Okay, so you can redirect.
Yeah. Mr. Wu, who do you believe the parties are to this protest? The one before the OPA today.
GPA.
And?
If you can ask a question, I would answer it.
Okay. Let me be very direct.
Okay.
Who do you believe the parties are to this protest before the OPA?
I
think the answer is going to result in me talking about the settlement thoughts.
Well, actually...
Well, I didn't ask that.
I'm rejecting the question.
So you're leading me into it.
For a legal analysis anyway, as to a party, interested party, responded.
Well, I think he answered that it was GPA.
So the only party for this protest today is GPA. Is that your answer?
For purposes of the protest, yes.
So Shanghai is not a party to this protest?
I think you're trying to mislead me.
Why not? I'm just answering a question. If you can't answer the question, then don't answer.
So
tell me you can't answer.
So let's handle it this way. So, Mr. Botha, do you understand Mr. Botha's question? He's asking you whether or not Shanghai is a party to this.
Yes, Shanghai and Terra are a party to this, but it sounded like he was asking me a question he had just asked.
All right. So
yeah.
Your first response was at GTA. So
yes.
You now clarify that Shanghai is also a party.
Yes.
Okay, so Shanghai and GPA are parties to this protest.
Yes.
I don't have any further questions.
Sorry, that's raised a few questions in my mind.
Okay, so based upon
his questions
on
right.
redirect, okay?
So you understand, Mr. Wu, that when you filed this protest and this appeal, Shanghai was the appellate and GPA was the opposing party, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so you didn't approach GPA to try to resolve or settle this matter, is that true? Is that true? Yes or no?
At this point,
no,
we've raised a relevancy
no,
objection. This isn't relevant to any issue in this appeal.
It is very relevant, and I would like to make a record as to whether or not these are really settlement discussions. If he really wanted to settle this case, the appropriate party was to settle it with GPA, not with the winning bidders.
Okay.
Again, I am questioning the whole entire fact that these were settlement discussions, and I'd like to make a record of it.
So Ms. Ariella will make a proffer,
mm-hmm.
So you're not going to respond right now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So the proffer that I have is that I mean, I think the answer is pretty clear. They didn't approach GPA to try to resolve or settle this matter. Instead, they approached the winning bidders, and I believe that that's improper for them to approach the winning bidders, particularly with the request that they had and the quid pro quo that they were trying to exchange with the winning bidders. Now, I understand that he's not allowed to testify about the substance of it, but I should be allowed to question him why he didn't approach GPA about any particular settlement discussions.
Okay, and I think
he, and that's all I want to ask. Did he approach GPA?
Okay, go ahead and ask that question. She's asked that question.
You did not approach GPA to try to settle or resolve this appeal, correct?
No, I did not.
Okay. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So why don't we break here?
Who's our next?
We're on still with you, sir. I'm sorry, we're with Ms. Ariola.
Yes, my final witness.
And we'll resume at what time would you like to come back? Let's come back at 1:15, and we'll recess until then.
We're off the record at 11:53 a.m.